ജയം പശുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തര ശരി ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയചരണാനന്ദ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹാരാൻ ശ്രീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് ജയം നിത്യപ്രവിഷ്ട വിഷുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തര ശരി ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തിസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹാരാജ് ശീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവ വൃന്ദക്കി രാമാചാര്യ ശ്രീ ഹരിദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്കി സ്വയം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗര ഭക്ത വൃന്ദക്കി ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധ കൃഷ്ണ ഗോപ ഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട് രാധാകുണ്ട് ഗിരി ഗോവർദ്ധാമിക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാമിക്ക് മായപ്പൂർ ധാമിക്ക് ഭദ്രപുരി ധാമിക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥ് പുരി ധാമിക്ക് ദ്വാരകാപുരി ധാമിക്ക് ഗംഗമായിക്ക് ശിവനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സാമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദക്ക് നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരണേ നിർവിശേഷം പാശ്ചാത്യദേശധാരണേ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ
ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ Radhe Shri Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Interesting there is, in the very last verse of the 9th chapter, Krishna has already put the introduction for the 10th chapter. You will see that connection as we go through this. Krishna's way is like that, that every chapter if you look, you will see, at the end of each chapter, Krishna will bring an introduction to the next chapter. Here also it's the same thing. Manmana bhava madbhatto madhya jimam namaskuru mamaveshasi yuktaivam atmanam matparayanaha. This is the one of the most important verses in the Bhagavad Gita, which we normally take it very literally, isn't it? Manmana bhava madbhatto. We like direct instruction like that, saying to us, become a devotee. And like we say in the translation also, you will say that mind always in thinking of me, offer obeisances and worship me, being completely absorbed in me, surely you will come to me. That's the direct translation of that. But that particular verse in the Bhagavad Gita, you will see again, it comes in a different form later. Manmana bhavma bhakto madhya jivam namaskuru mama veshasi yuktaivam almanam matparayana. Similarly, that verse comes again later. Yes. So, why is it like that? Because that verse is a little bit deeper than that, what we normally think. If it was just directly paying obeisances to Krishna and becoming a devotee as we understand what a devotee is, and Krishna says there, that mai mano yasya saha tvam manmana bhavaha tatha mal bhakto bhava madhyaji madhyajana shilo bhavaha mam evacha namaskuru mam eva ishwaram eshyasi agamishyasi yutva samadhaya chittam evam almanam aham hi sarvesham bhudhanam alma parajagati param ayanam tam mam evam bhudam eshyasi इति अधीतेन पदेन संबंधः मल परायणः सन् इत्यर्थः. Here you will notice one thing, that Krishna says become my devotee, Krishna says pay your obeisances to me, and Krishna is also saying here that almanam mat parayana, that is the most important part of that verse, almanam mat parayana, knowing very well that Krishna is the soul of everyone, parayanaha, surrender unto him. That is the most important thing. Just otherwise, if you put it the other way, normally people thinking that Krishna is saying something, you should surrender to him, you should pay your obeisances to him. Krishna says, no, not only that, almanam mat parayana, I am the soul of everyone, realize that and take shelter, he says. Why is it like that? Why does he want us to realize? Because you will see in the next chapter. This is where 9th chapter and 10th chapter is getting connected. In the 10th chapter, Krishna is saying so many things about his vibhutis. And then he says, the first vibhuti itself is what?
Ahamatma Gudakesha Sarvabhutashe Astita. That Vibhuti is connected here with this verse. Alpanam Mat Parayana. Alpanam Mat Parayana. Knowing very well Krishna is the soul of everyone, Parayana, take shelter, he says. It gives importance to that. Alpanam Mat Parayana. So, that's what we were discussing last time also. Krishna mentions there a few things.
Manmana Bhava Mandvatto.
Krishna, Manmana Bhava means what? Manmana Bhava. Keep the mind absorbed in the soul, always in the spiritual level, platform. Manmana Bhava means what? People generally think that Manmana Bhava means to think about a particular form of a deity. Actually, form is something that we have created, isn't it? According to our imaginations. We haven't seen Krishna yet. What we have got is a form in the temple. Some place Krishna is black, some place he is white in the marble. So which form is the right one? This question will always come, isn't it? Is this Krishna or the other one is Krishna? Which is Krishna's right form? You can ask that question. And some places Krishna is worshipped in the Vishnu form, in the four-handed form. And some places Krishna is lifting Govardhan hill. And which form should I think about? All these questions will come. But Krishna is saying, Manmana Bhava Madbhattaha, that keep your mind absorbed in me. When, as I mentioned before, in all these places, if you do not take Krishna as the soul of everyone, there will be difficulty in explaining things. Manmana Bhava, keep the mind in the soul. Madbhattaha, bhakti means love, isn't it? Bhakti means love. Love. Love for what? Love for the soul. Not for the body, in other words. Love for the soul. Madhyaji. Yajna means karma. Karma means that whatever karma is performed, it should be a sacrifice for the soul. For the sake of the soul. For the sake of the soul. Our problem today is that our absorption in the body is too deep. Unable to escape from that, to come out of that, we are struggling, isn't it? No matter how much we hear about the soul, still we think we are the body. But as soon as there is a little disturbance in the body, soul, everything goes one another. So, Madhyaji, Krishna says, all your karma should be yajanam or sacrifice for the sake of the soul. Then, Maam Namaskuru, as I mentioned about that also before, what does Namaskaram mean? Namaskaram, we think that physically just falling down and paying obeisances is Namaskaram. Namaskaram means when the false ego inside completely goes away, that is Namaskaram. That is why realized souls don't pay obeisances. Have you noticed? We have to pay obeisances. But very realized personalities, they don't pay obeisances. Why? They are always in that state of Namaskaram. Namaskaram is a state. It's not the body that's done Namaskaram. That we have to do it first to practice it, to get that ego out from inside. Once the ego has gone, the body which is standing like this, it will drop. It's about ego that's keeping it straight. Once the ego goes, the body will drop. So therefore, in the jnanis or in the realized souls, they don't pay any obeisances because there is no need for them to do that. Because they are already in that state of surrendered state, isn't it? Completely surrendered to Krishna they are. That they are completely absorbed in the soul, always in the realized state. There is no need for them. So you may ask the question, why is that he doesn't pay obeisances like me? If you ask the question, there is no answer to that. Answer is this, that they are already in that state. We haven't reached that state. So, to get to that state, we have to pay obeisances first. To obeisances is done only for the sake of reaching that state. So, Maan Namaskuru, in other words, whatever pride or ego, what is inside us, it should be surrendered to the soul. It should be surrendered to the soul. In other words, able to control and surrender the heart and surrender that ego inside and to identify with the soul is what that means. Madhyaji, Maam Namaskuru means that. Maam Namaskuru means able to control that ego inside and always able to remain in that state of surrender. State of surrender. Otherwise it is not. Otherwise, I can pay my senses at 10 different places and I can act the way I want it, isn't it? Nobody can pay 24 hours of my senses like that physically, is it? No, actually what it means is, Maham Namaskuru means this ego inside, ahangaram or false ego inside, always keeping it out from inside, able to stay in that state, that is Maham Namaskuru. Then, Maham Aveshyasi. Maham Aveshyasi means that able to recognize that the soul is the only reality. There is no other reality here. Body is not a reality. That is realization means, isn't it? Today, we are caught up in the bodily identity to such extent that for us, world is reality. Krishna is unknown. But for Shastra is saying, Krishna is the reality, world is unreal. We are in that unfortunate state. Today, for us, world is reality, Krishna is not real. Krishna is unknown entity still, isn't it? But when realization happens, Krishna becomes the reality, world becomes unreal. That is why I am saying here, Maam Evishyasi, Alma, soul, come to that state, come to that state. Then, Matparayana. Matparayana means to recognize that the only purpose of life is, only purpose and the aim of life is knowledge of the soul. Knowledge of the soul. All these things were spoken in this last chapter, in the last words, in the which chapter? Ninth chapter. Isn't it? All these things are spoken in that words. So wherever Krishna says Maam, 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 keep taking that as Alma, 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 the soul. And Aham Alma Gudagesha, Krishna is going to say that in the next words. And you will see there also in the in the introduction also it says, Vibhuti Yogam, introduction itself is, Saptame Adhyayaha Bhagavadaha Tattvam Vibhudayaha Cha Prakashitaha. In the 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavad Tattvam and a part of Krishna's Vibhudis were spoken. If you remember the 7 chapters content, Bhagavad Gita is a very, very subtle thing. Unless you get your mind into it and start reflecting on it, you won't see the connections, and that's what's more important. Krishna says, Saptame Adhyayaha Bhagavadaha Tattvam Vibhudayaja Prakashidaha. In the 7th chapter, if you remember, it was called Knowledge of the Absolute, isn't it? The 7th chapter, Jnana Vijnana Yoga, it was titled. And that is a very important chapter, the 7th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. And what has happened there, Bhagavad Tattvam was spoken. What is Krishna means? Is it not? There, Krishna spoken many things about the Tattvam. Tattvam means the principle of Krishna. What is the principle of Krishna? That's what's spoken in the 7th chapter. And the Bodhayaja Prakashidaha Naumecha Ata Idanim Yeshu Yeshu Bhaveshu. And some vibhudis are also spoken in the 9th chapter. In the 9th chapter. Tattva vibhudi. Tattva was spoken mostly in the 7th and the 9th. And the 9th chapter. Ada idanim, yeshu yeshu bhaveshu, chindyo bhagavan te te bhava vaktavyaha, tattvam cha bhagavato vaktavyam uktam, abhi durvijnayatva iti adaha shri bhagavan vacha. So, now what Krishna is going to say is, after talking the tattvam of Krishna, what is Krishna means, then in which form you should connect yourself with Krishna, in which bhava, in which mood, how Krishna is going to tell us that. Why he is saying that is, even though Krishna has spoken these things in the 7th and 9th chapter, still it is difficult to understand that. And that is why Krishna is repeating that again. Krishna is repeating that again. So, therefore, he is saying here that because it is a difficult chapter, that this 10th chapter's importance is based on this tattvam of the 7th and the 9th. Tattvam of the 7th and 9th. So my Vasudevi in the last verse, in the last chapter, which the last verse of the last chapter, which is 34, Manmana Bhava Manbhato, he mentioned there that my mano yasya saha tvam manmano manmana bhavaha. Manmana bhavaha. What does it mean? Krishna is saying there that if you keep your mind in Krishna or keep the mind in the soul, which is easy, neither of them are easy, isn't it? Keeping mind on Krishna is also difficult. You may probably remember Krishna for a few seconds and then it's gone. And similarly, if you want to keep mind on the soul, that is also difficult, but that is where Krishna is saying basically what that points out is that hear about the soul and absorb in the contemplation of it. Shravanam process, yeah? That you hear about the soul from all aspects. Like in the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, Krishna talks about the soul in various ways. You remember that? That in the second chapter, Krishna spoke about the soul a lot of things. Remember? Krishna begins with the description of the soul, isn't it? A lot of things has been spoken about the soul. Similarly, in the Bhagavatam also, in the Ekadasya Skandam, Krishna talks to Uddhava about the soul. Equally, in Kathopanishad, it's all about the soul. All about the soul. So, you start wondering why there is so much discussion about the soul. Only if you have all these things together, you will get completely immersed in the soul. In the deep absorption in the soul. That is what is spoken here. This Manmana Bhava Madbhakto means this. That getting absorbed in discussion, contemplation and reflection on the soul. On the soul, about soul, all aspects. So, that means hearing about the soul, all the knowledge of the soul, and constantly absorbing in that. Shutva nityam vijaratam. You will see the statement. Shutva nityam vijaratam. Shutva nityam. Every day you must hear, and every day you should absorb in that. So, shravanam is a process. And in solitude, you have to absorb in that. You have to absorb in that. Because mind, normally what does the mind do? Mind has come from somewhere, isn't it? It has a source where it's coming from. So, if the mind gets absorbed in the source, where does the mind come from? Mind comes from the chit shakti, from the soul it comes. So, mind wants to understand that source. Mind wants to understand that source. And that understanding begins like this. That first thing is, body is not permanent. Body is not permanent. That's the first understanding what the mind has to understand. That the body is not permanent. And on the other hand, Krishna has already told us that our real identity is eternal, isn't it? Swarupam is nityam, not anityam. Body is anityam. So this acceptance of this by the mind is very important. When the mind accepts this, then becomes a little easier things. But today mind hasn't accepted that. Mind is still saying, no, no, body is there, it's important. Soul, who knows? This avidya has to go from inside. So what happens is that when mind accepts that that Swarupam is eternal, and then the thoughts will go in that direction. And that is where Shastram helps and the teachings of the spiritual master realized soul helps that time. And all the statements in the Upanishads, Satyam, Jnanam, Anandam, Brahma, Upanishads are very, very straightforward telling us, Brahma means Satyam, Brahma means knowledge, Brahma means eternal. But we can't digest that statement. We say, what's Brahma? What is eternal? What is truth? What is knowledge? This is our question. Why? Because of absorption in the body. So, till we come out of this body and start accepting that truth or the statements of the Upanishads, this will remain as a problem. You can see where our difficulty is. We can't break through this darkness. Is it not? That no matter how much we say this, it is still, for us, it's only a temporary statement. Satyam jnanam anandam brahman. Body is not permanent. So, that thing which does not change, no parinamam, no changes happening, that is satyam. This is how Krishna has started Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? How does he say what is satyam and what is asatyam? Krishna's definition is, if you remember that important verse, Masulo vidyate bhavo, na bhavo vidyate sada. There itself, Krishna has put the foundation saying that satyam means that doesn't change. Asatyam means that will change. The best definition you can think about the truth. Very difficult thing for our way of understanding satyam is different. We think in a different way, isn't it? But Krishna's definition is so precise. Something that doesn't change is satyam. Something that changes is asatyam. Very fundamental principle of the Bhagavad Gita. In order to drive us to that point, Krishna has to speak all these Bhagavad Gita, every other verse. It's only to get us to that understanding. But that won't come to us very easily because our mind, our senses are all tuned in a different way. We only understand some what we see through the senses as permanent. No. Krishna is saying, permanent thing never changes. Non-permanent thing always changes. So from there itself, that vastu which doesn't have any change, Krishna is saying, that is satyam. And that is, the nature of that vastu is knowledge and bliss. This is why soul is spoken as eternal blissful knowledge. That statement is a very deep statement. Only thing we don't see the depth of it. That's the problem. Eternal blissful full of knowledge when we say about soul, what do we understand? We think that, oh, maybe it lasts a little longer than us. No, it is not like that. Eternal it is. Eternal means it can never be destroyed. It will remain forever. And it is full of knowledge. And it is full of bliss. That means anandam, satyam, knowledge, satyam, jnanam, and anandam. Satyam, jnanam, anandam. Eternal blissful knowledge, that is its swarupam. That is how it is. So, till we realize it, this nature of the soul is unknown to us. Till we realize it, isn't it? It will all just remain words only. We cannot go anything more than that. So, that principle, satyam, jnanam, anandam, that is again and again in the mind, you are repeating that, with the mind. You are repeating that. And how do we that, and because, how do you do that? Mind can absorb certain things. Mind can absorb certain things. Because mind can accept certain things from the Shruti, from the Vedam. It can accept certain things. And it can also accept certain things from the spiritual master or realized soul for that matter. It can accept instructions from them. But the source of everything is the soul itself, isn't it? So, in that understanding, the source of everything is the soul, first of all. That you should never forget. Mind is coming from the soul. Body is coming from the mind. Intelligence is coming from the soul. False ego is coming from the soul. And the vasana. All those things are coming from the soul. So, Shruti, Vedam is saying that because it is like that, Atma is the origin of everything. The mind, Veda Aptam. Veda Aptam. In other words, you can see this point where Shruti is making there. How does the mind knows about itself? Mind can know other things. Mind cannot know about itself. That is the beauty of this thing called mind. Isn't it? It's always an interesting thing. Mind knows about everything else. It will capture and pick up and bring it under its under its control, or control or its limits. Yeah? But what happens is that every night when you go into the deep sleep state, when this mind disappears, you start experiencing a happiness. Is it not? What happens in the deep sleep state? The mind is completely gone. We don't know where it is gone. We know it's not there. At that time, you feel a happiness. And only thing is, when you wake up in the morning, mind reports about that to you, that it was a nice time in the deep sleep, isn't it? So, in the thing is here, that if you say, if you have eaten a jalebi or something, the mind will say, will it say like that, in the same way, like the way it says in the morning when you get up from the deep sleep? You can see here, it is experiencing some happiness, which is when you wake up from the sushupti, when the mind was not there, but mind is saying to you in the morning that it was a nice, pleasant experience, isn't it? So, in other words, what's happening there is, when you have eaten a jalebi, what do you say? You say the taste was good, or the sweetness of the jalebi, or whatever, rasagulla, whatever it is. You talk about that. But here, the mind is reporting that in its absence in the sushupti, it is saying to us, it was a great time. Do you see the difference there? When you are enjoying jalebi, or rasagulla, or gulab jamun, whatever that is, mind is having a contact with that. And mind is saying to us, till the jalebi, the gulab jamun finished up to the throat and gone down, rasam has gone, is it not? Finished with that. Gulab jamun gone inside, and by here it's gone, rasam is finished. Gulab jamun's rasam is over. And because mind was constantly absorbed in that, in the deep sleep state, mind wasn't there. But when it came out in the morning, he says, it was a good time. Mind is saying that to us. So, you can see here, where is that sukham came from? There was no gulab jamun, there is no jalebi, there is no mind either. And still, mind is saying, it was a nice experience, a pleasant experience. From this, you can understand two things. First thing is, that source where the happiness is coming, it is there somewhere inside us. There is no doubt about that. The source where all the happiness is coming, that source is somewhere inside us. We don't know where it is at the moment, because we have no realization of that. But the source is there. Somewhere there is a source where you are experiencing happiness there. And that happiness has come when the mind disappeared, or when the mind got dissolved. And when the mind goes, normally what they say is in the sushupti states, layam happens. Layam means the mind, just like body goes away in the dream state, in the deep sleep the mind goes away. What happens to the body? Body goes and dissolves in the mind, in the dream state, isn't it? Similarly, the whole thing, the body and the mind, goes and dissolves in the soul. Goes and dissolves in the soul. So, the source where this all came from, the body and the mind, when they goes and dissolves there, this happiness is released from inside. It is that time that the happiness is released from inside. And that happiness did not come from outside, and you didn't attain it from outside, and also you can see here that at that point, the person whom we are talking about all these things, he himself goes. He himself goes, isn't it? You are not there in the deep sleep. This Angaram, which talks about all these things, he also disappears in the deep sleep. Actually, what we have to do is we have to go through all the 10 Upanishads first and study them well. And then this Bhagavad Gita will become a lot easier because Upanishads is an expanded version of all these things. And when we study Bhagavad Gita on a very superficial level, these things won't come up. But if you want to really understand Bhagavad Gita's subtlety, that 10 Upanishads at least, the major 10 ones, Isha Upanishad, Isham Kayanam Khatam Prasnam Mundam Mandukya Taittiri Aidrayam Chandokyam Bhagavane. These 10 Upanishads, if we go through well, then these principles what Krishna has spoken here will become very interesting and very easy to capture that, what he is saying here. See, Krishna spoke to Arjuna in the battlefield, spoke everything in a such a condensed form, but because Krishna was speaking, the message got through directly to Arjuna without any difficulty. In the Bhagavatam also you will see the same thing. Uddhava asked the question, and Krishna kept talking to Uddhava. Uddhava says, I cannot understand anything. Krishna says, don't worry, you will get it everything. Then what did Uddhava say to Krishna? Uddhava says, that day when you spoke Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, how much you wanted Arjuna to understand? Similarly, you gave me that understanding. How much you want me to understand? That much let me understand, he said to Krishna. So Krishna is like that. Krishna's way of saying things are in that particular style. So here also you can see that the souls, where it goes there, that it goes into the souls and the mind dissolves, body dissolves, anger and false ego dissolves, buddhi intelligence dissolves, no chittavritti, and you are waking up in the morning and you are saying, it was a very nice experience. It was a very... So you can see there that when everything is gone, that soul is releasing the happiness. Soul is releasing the happiness. So here, not only that, it releasing the happiness, that the person himself is gone, is not there, isn't it? Normally, when we say we experience some happiness in this world, trying to experience some happiness in this world, we are saying, oh, this was nice, we enjoyed this, and I enjoyed that, some things what we say, that person is missing there. It's only a revelation that happens at that time, in the morning, when you wake up. It's in telling us some experience was there. If you ask who was experiencing, you know very well, you are not there to experience that. Because the person you are talking about, his ego is not there, because he doesn't know anything what has happened. All you know is that there was some happiness there, in that deep sleep. That's all what you know. So it releases to that. So Sushupti state. But then the question will come, why the knowledge that realization we did not have in the deep sleep state? Knowledge is not there still. Only experience is there of the knowledge. It's a very subtle thing, you have to think about it this way. That in Sushupti state, jnanam is not there. Experience is there of the happiness of the jnanam. But jnanam is not there. And that is what I say. Because in Sushupti state, jnanam is not required. That's why it is. Have you seen this, there is a thing called Tripudi. Remember, we spoke about this before, Tripudi. The person who is seeing, the object what is seeing, and the process of seeing all becomes one. That is what is called in the Bhagavatam, it's called the Drik Drishya Vivekam. Drik Drishya Vivekam. Drik Drishyam. Drik and Drishyam. Drik means the seer. Drishya means the object what you are seeing. In the early stages, Drik and Drishyam exist separately. But when you go beyond the stage, Drik and Drishyam becomes one. That is what here happening in the Sushupti state also. In Sushupti state, what is happening is here, knowledge is not necessary because the person who is knowing it and the truth what he is experiencing, these things are not separate at that stage. I don't know whether you get that. The person whom, as soon as you wake up in the morning, you have given birth to yourself. You are not there before that, isn't it? That's why Krishna is saying in the Bhagavad Gita that from avyaktam comes vyaktam. In the morning when you wake up, your ego comes out first, the mind comes out, ego comes out, and then your identification with the body begins, and you see yourself as a separate entity. But in Sushumti state, you did not feel yourself as a separate entity, did you? At that time, that is the beauty of Sushumti. There is no king, there is no pauper. There is no Brahmana, there is no Kshatriya. There is no Vaishya, there is no Shudra. There is no man, there is no woman. There is no Brahmachari, there is no Grihastha. There is no engineer, there is no doctor. There is no whatever you say, boy or a girl. Whatever way you call it, all differences has born with the birth in the morning when you got your bodily identity. Otherwise, they have no place. So, in the Sushumti state, what happens? Because you have no identity there with any particular form, your knowledge and you have become one. There is no separate necessity for a knowledge and a person. Knowledge and the person, like in the vacant state, we call ourselves as someone, and I have this skill or knowledge. Or somebody else has different skill, or somebody has a different designation, this, then. All this variegatedness comes only in the vacant state. In the deep sleep state, in the Sushumti state, all that exists is knowledge only, not you. That's the difference. Only knowledge exists, not you. You don't exist, knowledge exists. This is why in the Bhagavadam in the beginning, what did he say? If you look in the Bhagavadam, see how Sudha Goswami put it to Shravana Rishi. Very interesting way he says this, isn't it? He says there that Vatandi that tattva vidam tattvam, that tattvam jnanam, that is knowledge. Didn't say a person. It is knowledge, he said. Why? That is what is there in the Sushumti. It is knowledge only. Person is not there. Only knowledge is there. And that tattvam jnanam, advaya jnanam, is called Brahmedi Paramatmedi Bhagavan iti shabdyade. That jnanam is called, in the vacant state we call, address them as Bhagavan, Paramatma and Brahma. In the vacant state. But once you go into Sushumti state, there is no Bhagavan, there is no Brahman, there is no Bhagavad Gita, there is no Bhagavadam. All that exists is jnanam. Only knowledge. Not even the person. See that problem, point, you know. In the Bhagavadam, if you see, when you study that verse, that is how you study that verse. Otherwise, if you simply think that, oh, people call it by three different names, Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan, and it is some form somewhere, that is, won't make much sense. Because that is why, first line itself, Vatandi that tattvavidam, that tattvam, yel jnanam advayam. It is advaya jnanam. Jnanam is that. And that's exactly here also. So, Sushupti, there is no... There, what they call in the Vedantam, it is called Ekapindam. It's only one thing there. There is no other variations, multiplications are there. So, there, Krishna says here, that there you are happy here, and that only happiness was there. Isn't it? The nature of that knowledge is happiness. Happiness is there. But, because we never gave attention to that, this is our main problem. We didn't think about deep sleep state before. We didn't think about that happiness we experienced before. And not only what else we did, we thought that sleeping is a very bad thing. Added to all this problem. We thought about sleep as though it's something nonsense, why we are wasting time like this. In a very, very casual way, we think, oh, I need to sleep for a few hours. And we started thinking, if I don't sleep, I must be a very advanced person. I don't know, some illusion in the head like that. That's all ignorance it is. It's not meaning at all. And because the Goswamis were not sleeping, we also started trying it out. See if we can become a Goswami by not sleeping. So everything flops at the end. Goswamis were not sleeping. Why? There's other reason. You have to understand Goswami's state at that time, what they were in. They didn't have to sleep because what they were experiencing in the sleep is they are experiencing the vacant state. That is self-realization. That's why they were not sleeping, due to self-realization. In the beginning, many devotees tried it out. That they thought, let's sleep only for 1 or 2 hours. And what was happening? After breakfast, prasadam, all were going into the bunker to have a good snooze.
So overall they were sleeping more than what they normally slept during the day. Because after filling the belly with all the prasada, you have to sleep more hours, isn't it? So this is all misunderstanding, isn't it? So you can see when we don't understand spiritual life properly, we will do all sorts of things like this. Our ego is inside so strong that we want to make it happen in this body, forcefully. So we think, oh, it is sometimes we have to rest for a few hours. So that is this is called sthula buddhi. Sthula, gross intelligence. This is called gross intelligence. If you are sushma buddhi, you see, sthulam, sushma, gross, subtle. Sthula buddhi will think like this. What's the point in sleeping so many hours? If I just rest for a couple of hours, it's enough for me. And they give the example of Margaret Thatcher. She slept only 3 or 4 hours. I was told that that's how some people say that she was so focused on her work that she couldn't sleep more than 3 or 4 hours. They say, so like this, so we also think like that, if I practice it out, what will happen? No, that's not the way. What Krishna is saying here, sthula buddhi, one who has got gross intelligence, they will take it like that. Sushma buddhi, what will happen is, you will start observing about yourself. That's the first thing. You will give attention to yourself. And you will see that through that sushmatvam in us, sushmatvam means the subtlety in a person, you will start taking notice of the nature of the soul. Nature of the soul. That is the first thing that will happen. That's the first thing that will happen. It cannot be otherwise. It cannot be otherwise. It's a very interesting phenomenon, this is. You see, when we become grosser and grosser, we will lose the attention on the soul. It will become more and more on the body. When you become subtle and subtle, your attention will fall more on the soul rather than on the body. It is for this reason only, if you look into the second chapter, Krishna says on the 29th verse something. What does he say? In the second chapter, 29th verse.
Asharyaval pasharikaschirenam Asharyaval vadadi tadaiva janyaha Asharyaval chainam anyashrunodi shrutvapyenam vedanaschaiva kaschil.
That's it.
Asharyaval pasharikaschirenam Asharyaval vadadi tadaiva janyaha Asharyaval chainam anyashrunodi Suttvapenam Vedanas Chaivakaschil.
Let me read the translation. Some look on the soul as amazing. Some describe him as amazing. And some hear of him as amazing. While others, even after hearing about him, cannot understand him at all. The soul.
So, there itself, Krishna has spoken, don't think that it is very easy to understand this thing called soul. And it's always an amazing thing, this soul is. That's why it's ashcharyaval pashyati kashchidenam. It's an ashcharyam. It's an amazing thing that is. Surprise to everybody. Ashcharyaval vadati tadaiva janyaha. And some people speak about the soul as it's amazing. And some hear of him, Ashcharyaval Chainam and Nishranoti. Some people hear of him as amazing, but ultimately Krishna says, Shrutya Apenam Vedanas Chaiva Kaschil. Even after hearing about him, cannot understand him at all.
So Krishna knows the problem, what we have got.
We hear and we say so many things, but we don't understand anything about the soul. So, that is why this subtlety is necessary. Now, you can see there itself, Prabhupada quoted another verse from Kathopanishad. Because there is no other literature in this world who will give you such a close observation of the soul in such a length as Upanishads are. So, there itself he says there, Shravanaya vibhavayo nalabhyaha
ಶೃಣಂದೋ ಹಿ ಬಹವೋ ಯನ ವಿದ್ಯೋ ಆಶ್ಚರ್ಯವತ್ತೋ ಕುಶಲೋಸ್ಯ ಲಬ್ಧಃ ಆಶ್ಚರ್ಯ ಜ್ಞಾನ ಕುಶಲಾನಿ ಶಿಷ್ಟಃ ಕಠೋಪನಿಷತ್ ಈ ಸೈಂಗ್ ದಟ್ ಸೊ ದಿಸ್ ವರ್ಡ್ಸ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ದಿ ಕಠೋಪನಿಷತ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಟೇಕನ್ ಇಟ್ ಔಟ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಪುಟ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಭಗವದ್ಗೀತ ಉಪನಿಷತ್ ಗೋಸ್ ಬ್ಯಾಕ್ ಮಿಲಿಯನ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಇಯರ್ಸ್ ಬಿಫೋರ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಸ್ಪೀಕಿಂಗ್ ಭಗವದ್ಗೀತಾ ಟು ಅರ್ಜುನ Before Krishna has spoken Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, millions of years ago, the rishis have spoken in the Kathopanishad. This Majjhed is going to Yama and the whole history of... So if you study Kathopanishad well, you will get a good grounding of the Bhagavad Gita from there. The thing what you have to get from Bhagavad Gita is an expanded form in the Kathopanishad and all the other also, 10 major Upanishads. That's where it is coming from. So, Shravanayavi Bhagavya Yona Labhyaha. You will hear a lot about the soul, but you won't get it still. Then, Shravanando Bhagavya Yona Vidyo. And even if you have heard about it, still the chances of getting it is very, very little. Ashcharya Vakto Kushalosya Labhyaha. Ashcharya Jnana Kushalami Shishtaha. When you hear about the soul, it's ashcharya. It's an amazing thing. What is the soul? We all have this question inside all the time. How to understand it? How to get it? People ask this question. And ashcharya jnana kushalana shishtaha. If somebody has got it, he is very ashcharya. If he has got it, it's an amazing thing. And more amazing than kushalana shishtaha, once he has got it from that person. So, like that. So, here you can see, till you see about yourself in this amazing way, this cannot happen. See, our attention is always on the body, isn't it? How much time we give to the soul in a day? And we want to understand the soul. All the attention is on the body whole day. How to decorate it, how to get the color of the body right, brown it, and how to cure the illnesses. How to keep the body comfortable, that's all what we know in this life. And we have to understand the soul with this body. But the attention is always on the body. That is what Krishna is saying here. That our first thing is, you have to see this ashcharya. Ashcharya means this amazing thing about the soul inside. When you start looking at yourself in that way, Krishna says there is some hope of scope of improvement, of scope of understanding the soul. Because it is only then you start asking this question, what is this deep sleep state happening? And you start asking this question, you are saying that I slept very well, enjoyed that, good deep sleep state, I didn't experience anything. Then you have to ask the question, what was happening then? What was happening then? Where did I get that happiness from? That question we have to ask in that time. You didn't see anything, you didn't hear anything, you didn't touch anything, you didn't taste anything and you didn't smell anything. But happiness was there. Normally, in the vacant state, all our happiness is coming through either through these five doors, isn't it? Seeing, smelling, touching, tasting and hearing. Five senses of knowledge through which you are acquiring all your happiness. What you are getting here in this vacant state, isn't it? So, and that happiness is different with different senses with different people. It's different, isn't it? Different people enjoy different things in different ways to different degrees they enjoy. But this happiness is same for everybody. Which one? What you got in the deep sleep. You can't measure it. That my happiness is better than yours, or yours better than me. Because in deep sleep, we are not there to talk about that. So, only thing is, everybody has that and all of us have that. It's always there and there is no higher and lower in that. Only when you fall back from that deep sleep state to the dream state, it changes. Is it not? When you fall back from the dream state to the deep sleep state, it changes. In Sushupti, everybody is equal. The king and the poor man on the street, they are all same in the deep sleep state. That samattvam. Samattvam yoga muchyade. Krishna says in the 6th chapter, that samatvam is that state is yogam. Says in the 6th chapter, is it not? Samatvam yogam uchade. So, that happiness, with the help of the mind, through meditations, you have to get that inside, in the vacant state. And you have to see it and able to touch it and able to imagine that. Krishna is saying that. That is what that first line means in that verse. Manmana bhavman bhakto. See that verse? Manmana bhavman bhakto means this. Otherwise, what will the mind do with the soul? What can the mind do with the soul? If I can keep on telling you about the soul, so many verses in the Upanishads, this and the other. But still you will be thinking, what is this thing called a soul? You will still ask the question, isn't it? What is it? I think, because that is the nature, the way the mind. So what vijaram, alpavijaram does is, self-inquiry does is, completely absorbing in yourself, in sushupti what happened, and deeply analyzing it, and constantly through that process, freeing yourself from the grip of the body and the mind, and realizing that my true nature in deep sleep was nothing but happiness. Is it not? That's all what you know about deep sleep state, just happiness. Vadandidat tattvavidam tattvam yal jnanam advayam. First definition itself is jnanam. Advayat jnanam. Why advayat jnanam means? Advayat means there is no duality. There is only oneness there. Advayat jnanam is there. Which in the vacant state you call it as Brahmedi, Paramatmedi, Bhagavanidi, Shabdyade. It's all in the vacant state, all these designations you have given to it. Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan. Whereas in the advayat jnanam is one in the deep sleep state. So this verse, what Krishna is saying here is, Manmana Bhava Madbhakto means this. That absorbing in the mind, in the self-inquiry, and continuously through the process of reflection, going and touching that state to the mind, and able to stay in that state, that is Manmana Bhava Madbhakto means. Not otherwise, if you're just thinking that I want to think about Krishna, nobody can do that. It's not easy. Unless you realize the self, Manmana Bhava Madbhakto is difficult. If you have to remember anything in this world, is it possible to remember that 24 hours like that? It's not possible. Probably for 5 seconds or something you can remember something, isn't it? After that it's gone. Something else will come, you completely forgot. You can experience this while chanting itself. How much time can we focus on this? We say, people ask this question, what should I do while chanting? Should I remember the form? Should I remember the pastimes? Should I remember something else about the deities? All these questions people ask, as though it is possible to do all these things for 2 hours, to chant 16 rounds and to remember Krishna. Only thing is, first when they start chanting, they'll try, and then 5 seconds or last it lasts. And then when it happens is, at the end of the 16 rounds, he makes, oh, it's over now. Finished. That's it. That's all. Finished. So out of 2 hours, hardly 5 seconds, you remembered Krishna actually. The rest of the time, your mind was somewhere else. It has its own journey it was making. So that won't help. That's not what Krishna is saying here. Remembering any form, remembering anything is difficult for the mind. Very nature of the mind is, it's like that. It's a chaturvati. That's what his mind called. So, that is why he says here, Manmana Madbhakto means through the process of inquiring about the self, how you reach that state of analyzing that what you experience in the deep sleep state, and able to come and touch that state somehow through your own effort, through the self-inquiry. That is what Krishna is saying here. So, Manmana Bhava Madbhaktaha, next one is, first thing is Manmana Bhava. Second one is Mad Bhaktaha, Krishna says. So when you have that happiness while touching that experience of the deep sleep state, that happiness or love, what you feel in that state is for yourself. See, just like the happiness is coming from that source, which is inside us knowledge, the happiness is coming from there. Similarly, that happiness is, another aspect of that is, love for all, everyone. Love for everyone. But actually you feel love, where is the source of love? The source of love also is the same place where it's coming from. And you have to remember this also. Upanishads wants us to take us into that subtle world. Explain to us this one point. Everybody in this world, they only love themselves. This is the fundamental principle. You cannot change it. Because what we show to others externally and getting attached to someone, all this is not even considered love. It's not even considered love. If you are doing to someone that, it's only because you love yourself. That's why you do it. It's a difficult concept, isn't it, for most people to understand that, to accept it. Because Yajnavalkya Maharshi told this to Maitreya. Maitreya asked this question. So he says to Maitreya, one thing you do, first thing. That Alma, first thing, Are Drashtavyaha, first realize it. And find him, this thing called soul. Shraudavyaha, hear about him. Vandavyaha, then Drashtavyaha, Shraudavyaha, Vandavyaha. Completely churn that inside about the soul. Nididhyasidavyaha, and become Nididhyasanam in that state. And then you will know one thing, Maitreya, that there is no such thing called love for somebody else. You love only yourself. Everybody loves only themselves. Nobody else. So, because it is only to satisfy me inside, I'm loving someone. I'm loving someone because I love myself. That's why I love somebody. For my own reasons, because it's coming from inside, and I need to project that on someone to satisfy that love inside. When it comes out, I can't tell love, don't come anymore, stay there. No, it will come out, and you are forced to project it on someone. It is not towards that person that you have the love. You love yourself. To satisfy your need for love, you are loving somebody. So the love object may be anything. It can be a person, it can be a car, it can be a building, it can be a flower, anything. It doesn't matter. But the thing called love, that comes from that source. And because it's coming out, it is projected on something. But you start mistakenly thinking that it's because you love that object you are loving. No, it is coming from inside. That's the most important thing. You can see this also very easily able to understand. Suppose you bought a new car, expensive new car, and somebody has done scratch that somewhere. Immediately you'll go and do some touch up and paint it and make it sure that it is very in its proper form, isn't it? As soon as you have sold that car to somebody, and if the car met with an accident, serious accident, then you will say, oh, what can I do? I'm good that I have sold it. That's what you will say first thing. So where is your love for the car then? Who were you loving then? That's the proof of that. Your love is not for the car. You love yourself. Because of that, to fulfill that love, you put it on the car. That's all. Tomorrow you have sold the car. If the car met with an accident, you will say, good thing I sold it, I got it off it before that. This is what you will, first thing that will come through your head. Every one of us will do the same thing. You see now, that is the proof that it is not the car that you are loving. The love was inside each of us. Or if the car met with an accident, you will say, thank God I was not in that car when this happened. You may say like that, isn't it? So, so therefore, love for the car is not for the sake of the car. because it's mine, that false ego inside. That car is mine. And it is an amazing emotion inside. That thing called, it's mine. That car is mine. Priyam. So, any object for that matter, the love or the source, priyam, or that pleasure that you get from, the source of that, that is the soul. That is the soul. That is why realized souls, jnanis, they don't love. They don't love. They become love. That's the difference. They don't love anybody. They become love. So it's a difference there. When you are to love somebody, then you are separate and the object is separate. Is it not? These are all subtle things about life. Upanishads talks to us these things to make us understand the potency of the soul. Normal life, we love somebody or some object, whatever it is. But that is subjected to this, that misunderstanding that object is separate, I am separate. Here, in the realized state, what happens is you become the love. That only love exists. That love is the same as the what we mentioned before, that bhakti. Bhakti is that love. Bhakti is that love. That's why when Krishna says here, manmana bhava madbhaktaha. If you have got absorbed your mind in the soul, and if you have touched the soul in that way through the process of analysis, self-inquiry, and in the deep sleep state, what you experienced in the sushupti, if you have got understood that and experienced it, then naturally bhakti will come from that. Madbhaktaha. And that bhakti is nothing but the same souls where you have experienced that in your deep sleep state. That is that source from where you have experienced the happiness in deep sleep state. It is the same source from there this love or bhakti is also coming. They are not separate. They are the same one source. Only thing is that when you have in the vacant state, in illusion, in maya, we are thinking objects as lovable and we put our attachment to these different objects and get trapped in that. Krishna is saying to us, manmana bhavaha madbhaktaha. If you have become absorbed in me through the mind, you will become my devotee also. You will become a devotee naturally. Because bhakti is that. Bhakti is that loving the soul. Soul is the source of everything. Priyam, love, everything, knowledge. Everything is from the soul, isn't it? It is keeping all these things in the background that they have defined the soul as eternal, blissful knowledge. Otherwise, what does it mean? Analyzing soul is a very interesting thing. That is why the Upanishads are they are completely breaking it up in such a level as to make us understand the nature of the soul. So here, jnanis, they don't love, they become love. And the love is Krishna's form. Krishna's form. Krishna's form is love. Form is love. Therefore, when that love wakes up, you will know that that love is auspicious thing and that is bhakti. That is bhakti. So, why the source of bhakti is Atma? Source of bhakti is Atma. Therefore, when we come to know that bhakti is the source, jnanam is the source, the happiness what you experience in the sushupti state is the source, then Krishna says, mad bhaktaha. Then you become a devotee. Then you become a devotee. So, look at the way jnani sees bhakti and look at the way we see bhakti. For us, a devotee means one who has dressed up as in clothes and one who has got a nice tilaka or shikha or whatever way we think or we say that, oh, he's a great devotee, we say. But you become a devotee when we accept these things, what Krishna has spoken here. Krishna's way of experiencing is that, on a gross level, yes, you can say all that. But when you come to the subtle side of bhakti, you can see, when does it happen? Manmana bhaval bhakto. Vasudeva becomes Manmana Bhava, then Madbhakta, then you become my devotee, Krishna says. Because there you know that bhakti, what you experience at that point, is coming from the soul. It's coming from the soul. So you will become a devotee of the soul. Only then you become a devotee of Krishna. That is proper devotee. Proper devotee means one who has reached that state, he is pure devotee. He loves the soul, not the body. He loves the soul. That is why he is a devotee. Because the proper bhakti is coming from that source, where it is supposed to come from. That's why sometimes you will see people are doing a lot of things in this world and eventually they get frustrated with spiritual life and then they go. And then they say that, I studied Hari Bhakti Vilas, I studied all the, the nectar devotion and everything. And I did everything what book has said. But bhakti wasn't there. Bhakti didn't come. What to do? Then they say, there's something wrong with the book. Or what's wrong with me, they say. I followed everything very rigidly, what the book is saying. Nectar devotion. For example, it's a Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, isn't it? So they are thinking that bhakti is also something like a engineering book that you fit in everything, plug all the holes and fill the gaps and connect the circuit, it should work. Bhakti won't work like that. Bhakti requires this. Manmana bhava madbhakto. From manmana becomes madbhakta. That's the only way it will work. There's no other way. What Krishna is saying to us, try to understand this, Krishna says, in order to understand all these things, the important thing is we have to start looking at ourselves first. Otherwise, how will you know? Everything else we are studying in this world except about ourselves. We know everything. We want to know about the moon, Mars, everything, other nonsense in this world. But we don't want to know about ourselves. This is the most unfortunate thing. So that's what Krishna is saying here, that only if you approach me in this way, through the soul, knowing that soul, who soul is, Krishna is a soul in person, everyone, and then you become my devotee. And you become my devotee. Otherwise, if you keep a murti outside and saying that I am becoming Krishna's devotee, it is not possible because tomorrow the waiting might break and go away. And it is a temporary to help me to come to this point, I have the deities. But if you just start thinking the deities are everything and put all your attention on the deity and tomorrow if the deity breaks up or deity gets stolen, what will you do then? Whom will you show your bhakti to then? Is it not? So everything that is, this is, you see, Bhagavad Gita, the subtlety of it. That if you want to get this point, what Krishna has spoken. That is why he says in the beginning, Nasadu Vidyade Bhava, Na Bhava Vidyade Sada. Only that thing, if ever we give a Nitya Vastu means the soul. Nitya Vastu, you have to take shelter. Anitya Vastu, temporary thing, you should do business with. This is the principle. Anitya Vastu for Vyavaharam, Nitya Vastu for Ashrayam. This is a very important principle. Everybody, what the people do normally? Nitya vastu for vyavaharam, anitya vastu for shelter. Exactly opposite way. Do you know what I mean? Nitya vastu means permanent thing. What is that? Soul. Soul for shelter. Anitya vastu means what? The body, mind, the world, everything. That's for business. That's what it should be. That's the way it should be. That is the perfect way. Instead, what do we do? Anitya vastu, we have taken shelter. Body, the world, the bank account, our assets, everything. We have taken shelter of that. Nitya vastu, which is alma, it is for business. Nitya vastu, vyavaram, anitya vastu for shelter. So that is where the whole problem coming from. That is what Krishna is saying here. That if you are worshipping the deity, even at that time, with the full understanding that it is my Andaryami inside who is present in that form outside. With that understanding, we have to worship the deity. We have to worship the deity. So that is the principle of Archavagaram. Archavagaram is based on that principle. So, therefore, if you are seeing Krishna as the soul in that way, then you are getting progressed in the spiritual path. In this 11th canto, in the second chapter, there is a statement from, I think it is from the Hari Maharshi, or Kavi Maharshi says there, Kammayu magnim salilam mahinja janeshu sattveshu disho drumadin haril samudramsha hare shariram yalkinja bodham pranamedananyaha. It's a famous verse. Kammayu magnim salilam mahinja earth, water, air, ether, fire. Janeshu sattveshu disho drumadin. All living entities in this creation. Saril, samudramscha, rivers and the oceans, forests, everything. All of this is Krishna's body, he says. Who? Hari Maharshi says there. Kavi or Hari, one of them says there. Saril, samudramscha, hare, shairam. Hari, Krishna, shairam is all these things. Yal, kinjabodam, pranamed, ananyaha. Knowing very well that, let me pay my obeisances to each one of them, every one of them. Because it's all Krishna's body. They are not separate from that. So, if you keep worshipping the deity in this way, seeing Antaryami inside is there in that form as deity there, and you're worshipping that, eventually it will end up like this. This statement from the Kavi Maharshi. It's a pure devotee's realization. Kammayu madhim sarilam mahincha janeshu sapteshu disho dhruvanim saril samudramscha hare shariram yal kinjabhudam panamedananyaha. He says there. So who is Krishna then? That is where the understanding Krishna means this. Krishna means that Atma inside. That is Krishna. That is Krishna's real form. So nothing is separated from the soul. Nothing is separated from the soul. So at the moment it feels that it is separated from us, isn't it? Vedam is saying like this. You see how the Vedam puts it? Vedam says, what is a tree and what is a forest? Vedam is asking the question. Vriksham and what is a vanam? What is it? It says like this. So, this comes in the Rigvedam. In Rigvedam, this Samhita Bhagam, this question comes. Vedam is asking the question, what is a tree and what is a forest? And then Vedam itself is answering that. Vedam itself is answering that. He says, Brahmam tat vriksham, Brahmam tat vanam. Brahmam is vriksham, tree, and Brahmam is forest. It says like that. Now, normally, to tell us that this is a tree and this is a forest, do we need Vedam for that? We don't need Vedam for that, do we? To tell us what is a tree and what's a forest, we don't need Vedam for that. Anybody can say that. But why Vedam asks this question? Because Vedam is trying to tell us the spiritual side of that. The spiritual aspect of that. So, to say that this is tree and this is forest, our ignorance is sufficient. We don't need anything more than that. Vedam says, Vriksham is Brahmam and Vanam is also Brahmam. Tree is Brahmam, forest is also Brahmam. In other words, when you come to know that, everything in this creation is nothing but a manifestation of that Atma, soul, Krishna. And if you know Krishna in that way, you will also know that Krishna is also the soul inside from whom you experience that happiness in the deep sleep. That's also Krishna. That's also Krishna. So you have to know Krishna in so many different ways. Like the way in the world also you have to know everything as Krishna. Inside Antaryami is Krishna. The happiness that you experience in the deep sleep, that's also Krishna, Krishna's nature. So when you come to know that that Swarupam, Krishna in this way, and it is that source inside from where you have experienced all your happiness, and that is where everything goes and dissolves at the end, isn't it? For example, in the daytime, you have experienced so many things during the day, in the world, through your mind and senses.
And in the night, when he went into the dream state, all of them got dissolved. First the body got dissolved in the mind. And all the other experiences during the day, that also got dissolved in the mind. And the mind and the body all went and dissolved in the deep sleep state. And that state from there, this sukham is coming. It is when it is dissolved, that is when you experience that happiness, isn't it? So that is our swarupam. That is our swarupam. As Bhagavatam said, that tattvam yajñānam advayam. Till we get to that state, that experience of that knowledge inside, we are either in the bodily platform or on the mental platform or on the intellectual platform. Isn't it? We are coming to that, more detail about that. Krishna is going to say about that. That this experience, till you go and touch that sukham, what has come from the source, till you get there, you are either in one of the other states, isn't it? Either in the body, or in the mind, or in the intelligence, or in the ego, it is operating. But when it has gone and touched there, that sukha swarupam, sukham, what you are experiencing, that sukham means the happiness, what you are experiencing, which comes in the form of love as bhakti. Bhakti is the word, correct word. Bhakti, it comes out from inside. What happens to your realized soul? Whenever he sees anything in anywhere in the creation, he feels a great happiness from that. Because he has bhakti for that object. From the realization. Self-realization, this has happened to him. So, and at that point, he has no shelter of anything in the world outside. And there is no attachment to anything in this world. Because he knows very well where he belongs to. Where he belongs to. And there, when your attention falls there, and you become absorbed there, you have escaped. And once you, for example, in the world, suppose you have developed attachment somewhere, doesn't matter what it is, once you lose that object, whether it's a person or a car or a house or whatever it is, it brings a lot of misery after that, isn't it? A lot of distress it brings along with that. If you think about this in this world, external world, say for example, in some truth you have to take it as very seriously, some relationship in this world with something, or in a person, or in an object, or sometimes even in a position, like Prime Minister or President or something like that. You put all your attachment there. And but it didn't actually happen from the position or from the wealth or from the object. Actually it has come from that bhakti inside, it has come out in a perverted form towards that object. But you can notice one thing, that when that bhakti develops, you feel a perfection inside. Have you noticed that? Suppose you have some attachment somewhere. In some object, you got a nice car. Temporarily, when your love is flowing towards that car in some form, it brings you a certain amount of happiness inside and a peace inside, satisfaction inside from that. Although it may last only for a few minutes or a few hours, it goes away. So, only thing is, or towards a person even, if you have a very nice and comfortable relationship with someone, you will feel the same thing. The same thing. Only thing is, for that bhakti what was coming from inside, that person has just become an object, that's all. Become an object. So, but at the same time, when that vyakti, person, or the object padartham, or the position what you are looking for, if it goes away, there is a deep pain inside. There is a deep pain inside. So, so therefore, after a while, that pain also goes away.
After a while, that pain also goes away. Because that samskaram inside was happening only due to that person. Only due to that person. That you see this. If you look at it this way, that the love that has flown to him in your relationship to another person or to an object, as soon as the object disappears or the person disappears, again you start noticing, temporarily you will have a setback. You will feel a disappointment. Oh, this has happened in my life. But you will notice again, the same love comes back again after a while to some other person or to some other object. So the ability to love, ability to, which is called bhakti, actually the right word is bhakti. Love is the word which we use in a translation. But bhakti is the right word. Bhakti comes and bhakti goes towards a person, goes towards an object. It's all bhakti. That is what bhakti means. I don't know what we understood by word bhakti. People understand bhakti in a different way. Some people say bhakti means... So, I don't know how we are... Everybody has their own spin on this bhakti word. They all think so many different things about bhakti. Suppose I've joined some institution, we'll say, oh, he's a bhakta. We'll say, he's got bhakti, that's why he's joined the institution, we'll say. Or sometimes you take an initiation from somebody, so he's a bhakta. That's why he's taking initiation, we'll say. But bhakti's proper understanding is this, what Krishna is saying here. Bhakti is this emotion that comes from that same source, which comes towards an object. You will experience for some time. When the object disappears, you feel severe pain and it stops. And then much later, after a while, the person has gone and the object is gone, everything. Again you see the bhakti comes back again from the source. So, therefore you can see that bhakti always brings a kind of satisfaction inside. When you are having bhakti towards anybody, you feel a certain happiness inside, is it not? So, and when you lose that bhakti, when the object disappears or the person disappears, so you feel that you start burning inside at that time. You feel very distressed at that time. So, that object where you have imposed your bhakti, when the object disappears, immediately the bhakti won't go. It will take a little while for that samskaram what it has created inside to disappear. It will take a little time, isn't it? So there is a time gap there. There is a time gap. In that time gap, after a while, there's a time gap, isn't it? For example, you also must have experienced someone whom you had a very loving relationship, say for example, father, mother, or somebody like that. As children, you loved them so much. And you had a lot of bhakti for them at that time. Gratitude. But after they have left this world, after 40, 50 years, if you say that you have the same bhakti, it's a bit difficult to agree with that. Is it not? Yes or no? It goes. It's finished with that. And then what happens? You have your children and then bhakti develops in another direction. That is the reappearance of that bhakti from inside again. Bhakti was there before, it was towards the parents first when you were children. And then, after a while they became old, slowly they have moved out of from your life away, and one day they left this world and gone. Probably for the first year also you may think about in a little while, how good they were to you and all that. But after 30, 40 years, when you have become another granddad, how much you'll be thinking about your granddad after that? Is just in the memory only. Some name, some form, that's all. So what does it show? It shows that the nature of the bhakti. Bhakti is like that. So Krishna is saying to us, if that bhakti, instead of imposing it on all these objects which are likely to disappear, which is not permanent, if that same bhakti is put it on the soul, you will escape the problem once for all. And that will remain permanent. That is why Krishna is saying to us, Nasodo Vidyate Bhava. only permanent thing you should show bhakti. You should not show bhakti to impermanent. If you do it, you will regret it and you will see you have wasted your life. At the end, that will be the conclusion. You will put all your affection towards the children, thinking that, oh, I love them so much because they are my children. And those children are feeling the same thing what you felt towards your parents. This chain is continuing all the time. And you are all thinking that, oh, I am properly situated. We are not properly situated. We are in the illusion at that time. That is what Krishna is pointing out here. That, so, none of them, because bhakti is coming from the soul. It is not coming from the object. We mistakenly think the object is causing the bhakti. The children are causing, we feel attachment to the children and thinking that the children are the cause of this. Because when your love or bhakti starts flowing towards them, you are feeling some happiness inside, is it not? And that is the foolishness of that. And at that time, when you feel that they are not responsible for that, they have come due to their prarabdham, you are here due to your prarabdham, that's all it is. When that prarabdham is over, they will go their way, you will go your way. But instead, due to ajnanam, this is called ajnanam, avidya means this. Due to ajnanam, avidya, you are thinking that, oh, they are my children and they are thinking that you are their parents. And that tight knot is kept and one day it breaks and then the whole thing collapses. Everything is gone. Is it not? So that is what Krishna is saying here. Bhakti, the source, find out where it's coming from. Where the bhakti is coming from. And impose your bhakti towards that source, where it is coming from. So that is the swarupam of the soul. It is the swarupam of the soul. Satyam, jnanam, anandam. Satya, chitta, anandam. Isn't it? Satya, chitta, anandam. That is its true nature. So long as you are thinking that anandam, that happiness is coming from outside any source, it means that you are in the three states. We are in the states. But when you know that anandam or bhakti is coming from the alma, from the soul, then you are in truth. You are situated in the truth. You are truth, but not in the truth. Just like in the deep sleep state, you are the knowledge. Similarly, when you have realized that the bhakti is me, bhakti is the source where it's coming from, it is me, then you are in the truth. You are the truth then, not in the truth. You are the truth at that point. Have you seen the difference there? That subtlety of the spiritual life is like that. That till you experience that, bhakti, that is only at that stage you can say that you have understood bhakti. At the moment we are thinking bhakti, so many things, if I put a nice tilak on and tie a nice freshly ironed dhoti very well, or put it on, and a nice shikha at the back, got initiated, and so many things we understood about bhakti, isn't it? And when you are a devotee, you got bhakti, we say. Attended all the programs from morning to night. No, the way is that you see the subtlety of it. The subtlety makes it the clarity in there. Otherwise you won't get it clear. Because other bhakti, one day you will be a great devotee, the next day you will be totally lost in this world. That devotion won't stay. This understanding that bhakti, the source where it's coming from, going back to the source and taking shelter there. So, if you feel that this anandam or happiness is coming from the body, if you feel that anandam is coming from the body, then you are in the Annamaya Kosha. You know that? There are five koshams, isn't it? Five sheets. Annamayam, Pranamayam, Manomayam, Vijnanamayam, Anandamayam. This is Patanjali's Yoga Sutra. Patanjali says this. These five sheets around the soul. So, if you are feeling all the time that happiness I am getting, all my happiness is coming from the body, if you are feeling it that way, you are Annamayam. You are Annamayam stage. Now, if you think that If you feel that the body is giving you all the happiness, all the happiness is coming from the body, then you can simply say you are in the Annamayam stage. Annamayam. So, on the other hand, sometimes you will say you feel very energy inside, a lot of energy and vitality in the body. If you are feeling it like that, you are in the Pranamayam stage. Pranam is that energy, isn't it? What you feel, that is Pranamayam. Pranamayam. Pranamayam means that, pranic energy. And sometimes, if it is coming from your mood of the mind, different moods you get. Sometimes you feel very good, isn't it? On the top of the world. Or feeling so good, like that. Or just like sometimes you hear some nice kirtans, bhajans, songs, all that, or when you watch a nice movie or a cinema or whatever. That is, at that time, if you are getting happiness from all that, then you are in the sheath of Manomaya. Manomaya Kosham, it is called. First one is the Annamayam, second one is the Pranamayam, and the third one is the Manomaya. So, where it is coming, this is how you understand this sheath, this Kosham. Annamaya Kosham, Annamaya Kosham, Pranamaya Kosham, Manomaya Kosham. Then, sometimes, when you want to understand certain things in a very deep level, or some topics which are very deep, by knowing that you are feeling some happiness from that, then you are in the Vijnanamaya Kosham. Vijnanamaya Kosham, intellectual level. Like the scientists and all that, they absorb in something very deeply and they get a good kick from inside, from that, isn't it? They get a good intoxication, this feeling from that. They have researched and found out something and all kinds of good absorption, the intelligence in that. That is coming from the Vijnanamaya Kosham. But if you engage in spiritual activity, say for chanting the holy name, or hearing some nice bhajans or kirtans, and if your absorption is proper in the soul, through that if you reach the platform of the soul, then you are in the Anandamaya Kosham. Through the Anandamaya Kosham. That means any spiritual sadhana, if it is bringing out from inside that bhakti out from inside, then you are having in the Anandamaya Kosham. This difference in all these things, is it not? Annamayam, Pranamayam, Manomayam, Vijnanamayam, Anandamayam. Five different levels of happiness. So, if any damage happens to the body, to the gross body, then all the happiness that you are getting from Annamaya Kosham will go with that. That also you have to look at it. If you are getting any damage happens to the body, you get sick or you get invalid or whatever, things like disability, anything happens to the body, immediately you will see that your happiness is gone from that. Why? That anandam was coming from Annamaya Kosham. Annamaya Kosham. So, similarly, sometimes you are exhausted, very exhausted, worked hard or ran around everywhere, and at the end of the day, you are fully tired and come home and all your energy is drained out. Energy is drained out. And if that happens, the happiness what you are getting from your Pranamaya Kosham has gone. Pranamaya Kosham has gone. Similarly, whatever you have imagined in your mind, in bhavana, in imagination, anything that you have experienced at that state, the happiness from there, which is purely due to imaginations of the mind, and if you have derived any happiness from that, if that goes away, due to, if those imaginations leaves you, then the happiness what you get from your mind, Manomaya Kosham, also goes with that. Also goes with that. Similarly, your ability to go deeply into one subject, your ability to analyze things, and you are feeling that happiness from those things, from deep analysis and careful observation of things and able to extract something out of it, knowledge from that. If you lose that capacity, then your happiness that comes from Vijnanamaya Kosham also goes with that. Also goes with that. Now, last one. Through bhajans or through chanting the holy name or through hearing from Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita, and all of them if that is bringing some happiness, but if all these things stops, it is not bringing any happiness, Anandamaya Kosham also goes. That means, sometimes during a kirtanam, or during a chanting the holy name, or even in the deity worship, due to deep absorption, Anandamaya Kosham will release some happiness. But if you stop all that, that happiness what's coming from Anandamaya Kosham also goes away. Therefore, Krishna says here that the very swarupam of the soul itself is anandam. Is anandam. So, nirapeksham anandam. In other words, without being taking shelter of anything external, if simply that anandam is flowing from inside, that anandam avatishtate. Krishna says avatishtate. Avatishtate means be situated in that. That means sometimes you will see that ananda rupena avatishtate. In other words, ananda rupena avatishtate. That means without the help of any objects in this world, simply it is flowing from the soul, and you are able to be situated in that way. That's what Krishna is saying this. Ananda rupena avatishtate. Ananda rupena avatishtate. That means, in annamayam, it's coming from the body. Pranamayam, it's coming from the energy. Manomayam, it's coming from the imagination. Vijnanamayam, it is coming from your deep absorption in something and getting some formulas or whatever technology what you have developed out of it. So that's all four different things. Anandamayam also, sometimes you are experiencing that from say some spiritual activity you have performed, you are getting it. But when you stop that spiritual activity, that also goes, isn't it? What Krishna is saying here is that when you have stopped all your activities, everything, still if anandam is coming from inside, that is where you should be situated. It has to happen that way. Ananda rupena avatishtade, Pradharani says this. So, anandam, in the beginning, it is always through different processes. Sadhana process, you may get some anandam from one type of activity. Some people will get some anandam from chanting the holy name. But it is not purely in that state yet. Very much on the based on the mind and the other bhavana inside, imaginations inside, isn't it? But as much as we progress in the spiritual path, you will notice that this happiness, just like you experienced in the Sushupti without the help of anything in this world, in the vacant state also, if it is coming to you in the same way from inside, ananda rupena avadishtave. That is the proof of spiritual life. Whatever happiness, what you have experienced in the deep sleep state, without any endeavor, without the body, without the mind, without the intelligence, without the ego, without anything in the world outside, you are experiencing a happiness in the Sushupti which you recognize when you wake up in the morning. Similarly, in the vacant state, at the moment, we have annamayam, pranamayam, manomayam, vijnanamayam, anandamayam. All these five different sheaths which is surrender of the soul, in different situations they are providing you certain happiness. Certain happiness in this body. In this, you feel that Anandam is coming from Annamayam, from the body. Manomayam from the mind. Pranamayam from the energy. And Vijnanamayam from the intelligence. Or Anandamayam from the soul through your sadhana process. Right? But if a situation happens without anything external, no supply of anything from outside, simply it's coming from inside, Anandam, that is called, Krishna says, Ananda Rubena Avadishtare, and that is called Bhakti. That is called Bhakti. Now you see where Bhakti comes from. Bhakti is that state where without the help of anything, you can see our problem. Our problem is that 5 minutes we find it difficult to sit, isn't it? And fortunately, this great invention, mobile phone, is our great shelter now. Every 5 minutes we have nothing else to go on doing it. What is more surprising is, even the Swamis, what about the latest ones? Swamis are bored, they are also doing the same thing. So what to do, what to say to them? What do you say to them? Swamis are also getting bored. So Swamis get the latest one. What do they call it? iPhone. Because you see the flight also, I noticed this. They were doing this with this. What to do? Because why? Can't sit 5 minutes. Because there is nothing coming from inside. It's all has to come from outside. From the gadgets and from the other sources. Swami is getting ready for the next lecture. This is Swami state. So the word Swami itself is a misnomer there. Swami is supposed to get his happiness from inside. It has to come from inside, from the source, where its bhakti is that. That's what bhakti. So that's what Krishna is saying here. Ananda rupena avadishtate. So you may see that, is it all possible? Everybody will ask this question, isn't it? Is this possible? If somebody sits 5 minutes quiet, he has become a great yogi, they say. He's become a great yogi. So, this is a good question. Is this possible? Maybe one or two people may reach that state. And only can imagine that it's only for their purpose it's all spoken. Only the one or two may make it happen. So, you can see this in the musical concert. When the concert is sung, right? So, a musician who is singing some great bhajans, say for Tyagaraja Swami's bhajans, somebody is singing. And Tyagaraja has sung, and that bhavam what Tyagaraja had when he sung the song, you won't get it in the next person who is singing those bhajans. It is not possible. It's not possible for him to have it. Because Tyagaraja, in that bhavam he sung, he didn't create the songs, it came out through him. That is the, because of his bhakti, state of bhakti like that. Whereas this person, next person who is singing, he is learning the song and singing it, but he will never be able to reach that state when Tyagaraja sung the song. You can understand that, isn't it? No matter how hard you try, you will never be able to reach that state of Tyagaraja if you sing a Tyagaraja Kirtanam. Kirtanam, you can never get it. So, similarly, the person who is singing is enjoying it, Tyagaraja's songs, and the listener who is listening to Tyagaraja's song is also enjoying it. He's also enjoying it. Similarly, when we are talking about all these things, about the soul, while speaking and while hearing about also, there is certain happiness inside, isn't it? Because it's about the truth, about the truth, about the soul. So, this anubhavam, this experience, anandam, is the seed of Brahmanubhavam. Bijam, it is called. Bijam means it is the seed of that Brahmanubhavam. Brahman realization, you start like this first, hearing from that. Hearing, you start recognizing and appreciating that. That is the first step. And then as you progress, other things must happen, but that may or may not happen now. That depends on Krishna's mercy only, and also depending on your own commitment to that and to the process. So, whether you have got it or you have not got it, whether you got any benefit from that, or all these things are difficult to say anything about it. Just like you can see, sometimes old houses, when they, you notice sometimes old houses, the very old houses, they sometimes collapse. And nobody has attended to that, the house is standing like that. And on top of that, sometimes some plant grows on top of it. You must have noticed that in different places. So, and it takes birth still there. Some plant, some crows have brought something, put the seed there. And because it's all collapsed, the mud was there, the seed was able to sprout, the sunshine was there, the rain was there. It was practically like the land. It started growing like that. Similarly, this knowledge also of the soul, that falls into your inside. It goes inside. And somehow, sometimes, it starts growing inside. It starts growing inside. And once it starts growing, and if all the obstacles that is not allowing that plant to grow, if you are able to remove it, then that knowledge will grow inside. Message is not very difficult. Message is very simple. What Krishna is saying in the Bhagavad Gita about the soul. But why is it not happening? Because you are hearing it, but there are so many other things that's blocking it. Like the weeds, not allowing that to grow inside. So that is why temporarily you may not feel any benefit from this by hearing about all these things. You may think, what shall I do with all of these things? Nothing is happening to me. That will be your answer to that. So, but there's only, what is the way? How does this knowledge has to come to effect in us? First thing to do is not to allow new obstacles to come into life. So that is the main sadhana. Main sadhana means, for example, already we have created enough karma in this world, isn't it? Through karma we are caught up in this mess where we are now. If you keep on adding to it more and more, it will become more problems later. That is what will happen. That you have to see it on a long-term basis. You can't see it on a short-term basis. Long-term. Due to our past activities, we have got this body today, the way it is now. And in this body also, if I continue doing the same business, what I have done in several bodies before, all I am doing is I am creating, generating new bodies for me for many lifetimes, isn't it? So, first sadhana is not to create further bodies by increasing the karmic activity. Karmic activity is not going to find any solution to the problems. So, therefore, Krishna says here, that is the main sadhana. Not to bring more and more new obstacles inside. And what is the way? That is where Krishna has mentioned earlier, Ananyaschindayan doma Vejana Parivasade Tesham Nityabhiyuktanam Yogakshemam Mahamyam. No new karma to come in life. New karma to take over. And what is the way? How to do that? First to think that I am not the doer. I'm not the doer. More and more we identify with this principle that karma is happening through me. Krishna is doing the karma through me. If this concept is deeply rooted inside, then you can escape from that. You will know it yourself. Nobody else has to tell you that. If you yourself are going and getting entangled everything and everything, then that is an indication that you have a lot of things to answer. But if karma is happening through the body, new karma will happen because as long as it is the body, karma vasana is there, karma will happen. But instead of creating new fresh karma vasanas, instead whenever any karma is happening through the body, if you accept it that it is happening through me, but Krishna is doing that karma, if you that way, then you can escape. And that is Bhagavata Dharma, what Krishna has spoken. Kalimashi. Kayena vacha manasendriyeva buddhyatmanava prathame subhava karomi yadyat sakalam parasmai narayanayeni samarpayami.
That one. I didn't do anything, everything, and not to take up anything new responsibilities in life. You have to remember this. Breathing and inhaling, exhaling the air. Who is doing that? Who is doing that? Krishna is doing that, isn't it? Antaryami is doing that. He is not consulting us when he is doing that, isn't it? He knows when to start and he knows when to stop. Never you have any idea or any control when he started. You will have no idea when it's going to stop either. So a lot of things in this body is happening without your sanction, without your knowledge. Similarly, Antaryami inside, Krishna inside, who is doing that? And he himself does the other things also. Which one? Pranan, Apanan, Udanan, Vyanan. Isn't it? All the five different kinds of air, Prano, Bhana, Udanan, Vyanan. All of them, Samanan. You know the five different kinds of air that are circulating in the body. Five different, Pancha Pranan they are called, Pancha Pranan. The five. Who is doing that? Antaryami is doing that. Is it not? Antaryami is doing that. So, as far as the body is concerned, the digestive system, the respiratory system, the evacuation system, and blood circulation system, all systems, what is working inside everything, is happening without your approval, without your knowledge. Somebody is doing that. Why can't we accept that? Karma is also happening in the same way. Why is that only when karma is happening you want to take up the ownership? Is it not? So many things that's happening through the body, Krishna is doing that. He doesn't consult you or me when it is happening, isn't it? He does that every day, every night, when you wake and stay to a deep state. In all those states it's happening without your consultation, without being consulted with you. Why do we think that only the karma I am doing it? That is the ignorance. That is ajnana. That is what Krishna is saying here. That Krishna creates the hunger inside. You didn't create the hunger inside. Krishna created the hunger inside. Jadara Agni, isn't it called? Vaishvanara inside. He demands the food. And he expects the food to be given to him. And who he eats the food. He is the one who is getting satisfied when you eat the food. Is it not? He gets the satisfaction inside and he conducts, he puts you to sleep. He decides when you should go to sleep. Yadevi sarvabhudeshu nidrarubena samstheta namastase 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 namo nama. Devi Bhagavatam says this. So many things, if you look to yourself, you can see it's happening without your consultation. Without consultation with you. You get angry. Did you decide to get angry? No. It happened. You got angry. You did so many things in life. And after doing that only you started thinking, did I do that? You say, it has happened through you. That's all. Similarly, Krishna's question is, why can't we accept that? Karma is also happening in the same way. Why only in the case of karma, I have done it. I am the one who is behind everything. That is the question Krishna is asking here. He is eating, he is sleeping, he is performing the vyavaharam. And therefore, Krishna says here, knowing all these things and searching for the truth. That is what that verse is saying. Manmana bhava madbhakto madhyaji, that word, madhyaji. This is what madhyaji means. First you have seen what is manmana bhava. Second one is madbhaktaha. Third one is madhyaji. You see that verse, how deep that verse is, how much it is covering our existence in this world. If all these things are in tune, then you have understood that verse. Otherwise not. Manmana bhava, first thing. Mad bhaktaha, this one, madhyaji. Madhyaji, everything is happening through Krishna. Krishna is doing it through your body. That's all. That is madhyaji. Yajanam, it becomes a yajnam then. What discussed in the
third and fourth chapters, yajnam. It becomes a yajnam. So when you read the translation of that verse, what will you think normally? You will think, become a devotee, pay your obeisances, come back to me. In a very gross sense, isn't it? A very gross sense, if you read the translation like that. But if you see into the deeper, subtle side of that verse, you can appreciate what Krishna is saying there, isn't it? Manmanam bhavam adbhatto madhyajimam namaskuru maam evishyasi yuktenam atmanam matparayanam. Engage your mind always in thinking of me, offer obeisances and worship me, being completely absorbed in me, surely you'll come back to me. But first of all, break that verse into all these different things. Manmana bhava, first thing what we have spoken. Then mad bhaktaha, the way Krishna has spoken what bhakti means. Now this third one is madhyaji. Madhyaji. Madhyaji means this. Krishna's point is everything in your body is happening. You are not involved in it. Isn't it? When you are breathing, nobody consults with you. You take it for granted, isn't it? Somebody must be doing, Antaryami is doing that. Similarly, when you are sleeping, Antaryami decides you should sleep now. And he gives you, allows you to sleep, then you can sleep. If he keeps your mind free from all anxieties and body goes, all happens every night, isn't it? The body, as soon as you lie down, you are ready to sleep. And sleep is coming. Who is sending the sleep to you? Who is giving it to you? Why should you sleep? Somehow or the other, you slowly you come out of the body, you come to the mind. And slowly you will leave your mind also and goes to the deep sleep. Who has arranged all that? And the Niyami has arranged that inside. So, eating is concerned, he creates a desire inside for the food. Vaishwanara is saying, bring me food, I want some food. When you only when you ask for the food, you are hunting for the food, isn't it? You go for the food. So, eating is concerned, he is controlling. Sleeping is concerned, he is controlling. Breathing is concerned, he is controlling. And then so many activities inside this body. The liver functions. We don't know what the liver is doing inside. We say, it's my liver. We say, what my liver? What do I know what's going on inside? All I know is that if something is happening inside, I'm going to the toilet. That's all I know about it. When I'm hungry, I have to eat. When I have to go to the toilet, I have to go to the toilet. That's all I know. Beyond that, anything what's happening inside, how much do I know about it? It's happening though. How? That's what Krishna is saying here. When so many things looking at yourself, you can see that the presence of Krishna there, Antaryami is functioning there. Krishna is asking, why only when karanam comes, you want to take it on your shoulders? This is his question to us. When, if you bring karanam also into the same category, and put it into the same way like breathing, eating, sleeping, and so many other things, then Krishna says, madhyaji, that is madhyaji. Only in karanam you are taking the ownership. Why? Why is that? That's Krishna's question. Only in the results of that you want the ownership and the results. Why? On that alone. You are not asking the ownership for the blood circulation inside. You are not asking the ownership for the breathing inside. You are not asking for the ownership for the sleep inside. That you already taken for granted. But when it comes to karma, you want the ownership. Why? That is what Krishna is saying. Madhyaji means that. So, that is what Krishna is saying here. Manmanabha madhvatto. So, when you come to that stage, Krishna used a word there, yuktva, isn't it? Yuktva. Have you seen that word? Yuktvaiva. Mama vishesi, yuktvaiva. Yuktvaiva, Krishna used this word. Yuktva means yoga. Here. That is called yoga state. If you are doing, living in this way, surrender, this is a state of surrender. This is what surrender means. Surrender means, doesn't mean that I go and tell Krishna, Krishna, I have surrendered to you now, you do everything for me. No. Krishna's way of seeing surrender is these things, or to explain to us what the surrender means. That he says here, that without any pride inside, in that surrendered plane, if you remain all the time, that surrendered state is called samadhi. It's called samadhi state.
That means Krishna is saying here that
the manmana bhava, first thing, manmana bhava. Second thing, malbhaktaha. Third thing, madhyaji. And the fourth thing, maam namaskuru. That is that surrendered state. So imagine how much it is expected from us in that words. Manmana bhava, manbhaktaha, madhyaji, maam namaskuru. All these four things. Krishna is saying like this. So here, if your body gets samadhi state, for example, yogis, they practice samadhi state, isn't it? Through the meditation process and through the process of Ashtanga Yoga, they practice. That is only samadhi for the body. Body is under samadhi. But actually, your false ego has to get samadhi, not the body. Only then you are escaped from here. Because body samadhi will last for some time. After that, body will lose its samadhi because body has got this problem. Ahankaram will pop up again and you will get the body out from that samadhi state. So, to get the samadhi for false ego is more difficult. Body samadhi is easier compared to the samadhi of the false ego. Body samadhi is relatively easy. So, for example, suppose there is a very wicked person who is very troublesome, troubleshooter. You can probably tie him down with a rope to a pillar or a post. You can tie him down, isn't it? But how will you tie your false ego? How to tie it down, the false ego? So, therefore, Krishna is saying here, for the false ego, for that to get samadhi, that is why Krishna uses that word, yukta-iva. The word, yukta-iva. Krishna is saying, and therefore, the only opportunity, only choice Krishna is saying here, continuously, that one has to take this realization, only Krishna exists. Only in that state, that samadhi will come. As long as you are thinking that you are existing, and your own individual ego is existing, you cannot give samadhi to the ego. Only if you think like this, only Krishna is existing, nothing else is existing, then your ego will eventually take this samadhi state. Samadhi state will happen to the ego. That is the main thing. So, and therefore all the great devotees will say, Naham, Naham, Tvam, Tvam. I don't exist. I don't exist. Only you exist. That's the great devotee surrender to Krishna. Surrender to Krishna. So, therefore, he says here, so, sometimes great personalities, they will say this also, a realized person, and who is already in that state, for him, what is there to ask for? Nothing to ask for, he has reached that state, isn't it? But, in order to show to others, how they should pray, they will say this to them. Naham, naham, tvam, tvam. I don't exist, only you exist. Only Krishna exists. And everything is you. So that Jnani is that person. He is already in that state. He is experiencing that all the time. For him, he doesn't have to say this anymore. Because he already reached that state. So therefore he says here, they say like that, you are the stone, you are the hill, you are the river, you are the ocean, you are the mountains, everything it's you, the stones, the earth, everything. And you are the one who has come as wife, you are the one who has come as children, you are the one who has come as parents, and I don't exist. And even in all of them, it's only you, including in my body, it's only you who exist. So this is one understanding from the Ekadasha Skandam. You will notice this, Kavi Maharshi repeating this again and again, this principle. So, so here, question will come, these realizations of these experiences, this comes from the Jnani's face. from the Jnani's mouth. He will say these things, isn't it? What is that saying? What is he saying? Only you exist, I don't exist. Like a mantra, he repeats this. Naham, naham, tvam, tvam. Naham, naham. I don't exist, only you exist. Only you exist. So, about this, in the commentary mentions here, that is the Vedam as a authority for the Jnani, or the Jnani authority for the Vedam? This question will come, isn't it? See, Vedam is telling us a process, the truth. It talks to us about the truth. Upanishads, Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, everything talks to us about the truth. Now, we accept Vedam as authority. Authority. Vedam is authority. Soul we haven't seen. We don't know anything about the soul today. Completely absorbed in the body. But Vedam says soul exists. On the authority of the Vedam, you are accepting the presence of the soul. Isn't it? A Jnani who has realized that he is the soul, for him, Vedam is not the authority anymore. Because he is experiencing it direct, isn't it? So there is no authority comes anymore. On the other hand, it is based on the experience of the Jnani, Vedam has come. You see that? That is why all the Upanishads, Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, everything, important thing is, whose experience is that? That is what we are reading in the book. And that has become our authority. So initially, those who have realized it, they spoke and that became Vedam. And became the Vedam. You see how that process happens, the flow of that. So, but the thing is that a new person comes with realization. And he says something. If what he says is in a conformity with what Vedam is saying, then we can accept that, if that is his experience. But if he comes out with something new, some idea, some new concept, we can't accept that. Because that is not. Because this Vedam is the experience of the realizations of the Jnanis who have reached that state. So, Swayam Kritanartham. There are so many people that Veda Pradipadya Jnanam. Jnanam, that is explained in the Vedam. So, whether the question is Vedam an authority for the Jnani or a Jnani is an authority for the Vedam? So, one side, the realization of the Jnani. Jnani is Jnanam. On the other side, the Jnanam of the Vedam. And they should agree. They should agree. So here, what we have to remember is that because many times people do not take these to account, which means the realized souls, his realizations, and the instructions in the Shastra. When they don't consider like that both together, sometimes you get some upstarts who comes out with some statement saying that you saw some light or this or that, something like that. And if you ask them, it has nothing to do with the Shastra. And that is not acceptable. That is not acceptable. So, and unfortunately what happens is when some people comes like that, and if another 10 people join them to make it popular like that, you can't say anything to them, because if you say anything to them, they will get angry with you. But that's quite common in this world now. That somebody starts something, some sort of spiritual mission, and say that their Guru Maharaj had a big realizations, and if you, and they've got a big group of people following them, and if you tell them that, well, you know what is the realization of your spiritual master, which based on what Shastra, or where is it coming from, they haven't got any answer. And if you say anything to them, they'll get upset with you. They'll get upset with you. So, there what's happening is, only the authority is the advertisement. Advertisement alone is the pramana. Pramana means, so that therefore we are living in an age like that. We are living in an age like that. In a very cheap way, people are making spiritual life. People make spiritual life in a very cheap way. And unfortunately, due to some of our sinful activities, we have come and taken birth in this time of this life, in this world. And because of that, we also have to put up with all these things, isn't it? So, so this Yugam, everybody says Kali Yugam is very bad, this, that and the other. Kali Yugam is nothing but advertisement Yugam, isn't it? This Kali Yugam, what else is in this Kali Yugam? Except advertisement. Everything is subject to advertisement. If you know how to advertise and make it to all the channels and all the newspapers and all the, however clever you are in advertising, that is the authority now. How many people are falling into this trap? You can imagine that, isn't it? This is one of the very difficult side of this spiritual life. And most of the people will be carried away by advertisement. Advertisement is such a powerful thing in the media now. It's such a powerful thing. And the more and more inventions we have in this world, we will get trapped there. And whereas we will not know that spiritual life has nothing to do with advertisement. It's a completely different thing from advertisement. So, but when you see hundreds and thousands of people following something, we take it, he must be right. Because a thousand people following that. So it should be correct, isn't it? Can't go wrong. If it goes wrong, all of us will go wrong. So what? We'll give it a try, because so thousands of people are doing it, so it must be correct. And this is not spiritual life. This is phobia, this is a kind of phobia that is in every one of us. We get quickly fooled by that, is it not? So that is what Krishna is saying here, that jnani only pramanam for him is Vedam, not advertisement. Advertisement is not a pramanam. Vedam is the pramanam, isn't it? So if you combine the realization of a jnani, we combine that with the knowledge of the self discussed in the Vedam, that is what is perfect. If you combine that together, if you put it together. Otherwise, simply saying that, oh, I am the incarnation of somebody. So many incarnations nowadays, you hear about that, isn't it? So, first of all, that Siddhantam itself is a problem, this incarnation business. It creates a lot of problems. Because, you know, these incarnations, it's not discussed in Upanishads. It's only in the Puranas, this discussion of incarnations. You must remember that also. Only the Puranic concept is this incarnations business, isn't it? So, they have done this with a good intentions about these incarnations in the Bhagavatam or in even other Puranas also. Incarnations are spoken with a good intentions. But what has happened is that Krishna appears in different incarnations and the rishis, the sages have given a explanation to that of different incarnations in different yugam, different time periods and all that. So what has happened is because of these incarnations, people started realizing that if they can become an incarnation somehow, there will be a lot of people to follow them, isn't it? So with the result now, there is more incarnations than the people in the world today. If you look carefully, you will see that there's more incarnations ready. Everybody is incarnation. So strictly, and that is not a lie. In fact, in reality, we are also incarnations only. We are also incarnations. But the difficulty here is that this is not due to hate towards anyone or animosity towards anyone, because there is no Shastra Pramanam, authority of the Shastra behind it, and there is no logic in that, there is no heart in that, and there is no absolute truth behind this, all these things. So, unless you have, without all these things, that means mainly Paramarthika Lakshyam, that means ultimate goal, very, very clear inside, and you have proper logic and reasoning behind it, and proper Shastric authority behind it. If all these things are there, and if you are not proper Jijnyasu, Jijnyasu means looking for self-realization in spiritual life, if you have all these things, You can forget about all these avatarams. What is coming up? Whatever Puranam has spoken, don't worry about it too much. It is mentioned there in the Puranam. Because we are not questioning that. All the avatarams that is there, we are not questioning that. But everybody's avataram, because all of us are Krishna's appearance in this world in different bodies through that. Isn't it? Krishna is the Antaryami. In order to know that Vastu inside, Krishna inside, Antaryami inside, in order to experience that knowledge inside, and to make us aware that that is the truth, what is spoken in the Upanishads or Upanishads knowledge, it is only for that purpose a guru is necessary. A guru is necessary. And that guru, and that guru is worshipable who takes you to that state of realization and to show that knowledge inside. And only through the knowledge you can get released from this body once for all. Once for all. Otherwise, it is not possible to get released from here. It's not possible to get released from here. And that is why you will see jnanis. There is a statement about the jnanis. They say, Nistudihi nir namaskaraha. What does it mean? It means that they do not glorify anybody. They don't pay their obeisances to anyone. Once they have reached that state, all they do is they give you that realization. That's all they can do in their state. So, chalachala nigede yadar yadruchigo bhava. Yadruchigo bhavet. So, therefore, if you look into great personalities, very great realized souls, you won't see them blessing them anyone. Or you won't see them folding their hands in front of anyone. Why? Why is it like that? Because they have reached that state. They don't need to bless anybody with their hands. Or they don't need to fold their hands in front of anyone. That state, they have come out of that. They have come out of that. Because only if there is something that exists separately from the soul, blessing is required, isn't it? And or fold your hands in front of them. But we have to stay in that state. We have to reach that state first. So is Acharya or a great personality who is in that state, Guru or Shastram, is all meant for that purpose. So what is the purpose of the Shastram? To check that your knowledge or realization is a proper knowledge, proper realization. After that, Vedam is the only pramanam for this. Because Vedam has come from his mouth. A person who has realized like this, whether you take any of the great sages, whom Angiras, Narada Maharshi, Vedavyas, Shivabrahma Maharshi, Parashurama, or Vishwamitra, Vasishta, many of them, the great person, Duvasa, all of those great personalities, it is through them Vedam has come here to this world, isn't it? Krishna has released it to them because they were in that state. You have to look into the origin of the Vedam. Upanishads have come through these great sages, isn't it? Many, many, Markandeya, for example. They are all the rishis through whom Vedam has come here. Upanishads have come here. So the question comes, what we read as Upanishads today and studying books, this has been given to us someone. Somebody has released it through them. Krishna has released it through Markandeya. Krishna has released it through Yajnavalkya. Krishna has released it through Vishwamitra. Krishna has released it through Vasishtha. And so many others. Great, great souls, isn't it? Because it has released through them, they must have been in that state. Otherwise it's not possible, isn't it? It's not that it just came through the words, through the lips. It didn't. It came out initially in the form of Pashyandi, it says. First stage is Pashyandi, Madhyama. First is Para, then Pashyandi, then Madhyama, and finally Vaikari. It is the Vaikari that we are reading in the book, in the Upanishads.
when we read all these verses in the Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam and all that, it is a Vaikari form. Is it not? Before it came to this form, in the person who has spoken that, say for example, Bhagavatam Shuka Brahmarshi. Before it came out, Shuka Brahmarshi's lips to Parikshit, what was the form of that knowledge? Para form inside Shuka Brahmarshi is there. So that first they had realization and then they spoke. So whatever they are speaking, that will be in conformity with the Vedam, what we are reading today, Upanishads, or Bhagavad Gita for that matter. Like Krishna has put it in the form of these verses to Arjuna. But before Krishna has spoken this to Arjuna, this knowledge is in Krishna in full. That comes out too in the form of verses to Arjuna. You see? Similarly, you have to remember this. This knowledge, if it comes out from anyone, if it is in agreement with these Upanishads, Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, then you can agree with him that, well, your realization is correct. But if he talks some nonsense and says to us that this is, Vedam is the authority, we can't accept it. We just can't accept it. This is the reason for that. Do you see what I'm saying? That Shastram has come through some people, some verses. Upanishads, Rishis, sages, they are called Rishis, they are called his name. They are listed in the Bhagavatam, great, great personalities. Before it came out through them, it was inside them in realization, realized state. And that came out in the form of Vaikari, in the form of books, what we read today. That is the only thing we can accept. That means, Shastram is authority, those persons are also authority. Nothing else. Both are authority for us. So, if anyone, new person comes and says to us that I have this realization, you have to accept that. First thing what we have to do is to check what he is talking about is in agreement with the Upanishads. If it is in agreement with the Upanishads, yes, we can accept you because you, the realization what you are talking about is in line with the Shastra. Otherwise not, no matter who it is. So therefore, in the case of great personalities, the purpose of that is that Vedam is the authority. Vedam is the authority. Because it has come through his mouth, from their mouth. Similarly, that kind of jnanis, not only those great sages, subsequently in due course of time, many, many great personalities have come, isn't it? All the great acharyas, they were all on the same level, like the great rishis. Because what they have done, completely holding on to the Vedam they spoke. And then, recent times, we look back, great personalities, like Jnaneshwar. He's called Jnaneshwar, isn't it? Why? Jnaneshwar is speaking that Jnanam, what is in the Vedam. So, he is also speaking his realizations. Is it not? So, therefore, whatever he has spoken is Vedam, authority. Because his dependence is on Vedam. Vedam is his authority. It has come through him. Therefore, he has become the authority. So, there we require that expertise to check that when somebody, which category does someone belongs to. There are so many people in this world who are speaking without any authority also. They have their own realizations, they say. But it is not possible to accept everybody in that level. Only if it is an agreement with the Shastra. So, it didn't come from their mind, in other words. So, Vedam has come like that. So, in other words, all of them are in the Anubhuti state. Anubhuti means in the realized state. So, they are showing to us that secret. That secret. So, that is why Krishna is using that word here, Yuktaiva. You see that? Mamavishesi Yuktaiva. Yuktaiva means this. That not anything and everything, very strongly, Shastram. Shastram, which Shastram? Upanishad Shastram, no other Shastram, which is completely bona fide, authentic, based on the Vedam. Only that is acceptable. So, such people, Yukta Yuva means, they will continuously talk about only one thing. What is that? Sharanagadi. Sharanagadi and surrender. That's the only thing they have to talk about. Sharanagadi and surrender.
So only if that is, and then Krishna says here that your swarupam is that surrender. Surrendering is your swarupam. And sometimes if you look into their life, you will see that they will also, in their own personal life, they will show to us that they also have difficulties with their body. I'm talking about the great souls. They may have fracture in the body, they may have limbs broken or cancer or other kinds of diseases in the body. And they will also do the treatment for the body. They will also do the treatment for the body. But why do they do that? They are showing to those who are connected with them, to show it to them that I am doing all these things not because I am an incarnation. I am not incarnation. Only doing this to show to them body is experiencing the pain. Body is experiencing the pain. That's all I know. Physically, and you and me are not different on a physical level. My experience is also there with the body is concerned. It has got the pain, like you are experiencing the pain. I am also having the pain. All the miseries of this body. But after showing it to them, they will also say to them at the end, but what can be done? Body will get cancer. Body will get sick. That point is stressed again and again to show it to the people whom are they are connected with these personalities. They will show this to them. But that's where you have to look. You will also notice there, when all these things are happening to the body, they will be, like Bhagavatam says, Balo immatta pishachavat. They will be like children. They will be like children. So, Balam Baloha Udmatta Vishachavat. It means, you remember, when they talked about Jadamarada, Rishabhadev, and Dattatreya Maharshi, and also about the Chobra Maharshi, they have used this word in the Bhagavatam. Balam Udmattam Pishachavat. Bala means like children. They are like children. That means children, what is the difference? Children don't take anything seriously, isn't it? Only for the moment they want the pleasure and they leave it after that. It doesn't take very seriously into the heart. Unmattam. Unmattam means that kind of madness in them. Pishachavat, like a ghost, they act in this world. Bala Unmattam Pishachavat. And that is how they lived in this world. You will see if you look into Jadabharata's life, the Tatran's life, and Krishnadeva's life, and so many others, you will see this. You will see this. And when you see their life and their state, you may find many things very difficult for us today to come to terms with. Like the Tatran Maharshi. Once what happened was, the Tatra's case is very interesting. He had a disciple with him. And the Tatra Maharshi went to his spiritual master. And the spiritual master gave him some milk. What milk, you know? Dog's milk. To drink. The Tatra Maharshi drank that milk. And gave it to his disciple. Disciple said, no, not dog's milk. He said, you give me cow milk, I'll drink, but not dog's milk, he said. Why is this? Why all this in the story? If you have properly understood their consciousness, these personalities, where is Dattatreya Maharshi? Dattatreya Maharshi is speaking to King Yadu in the Bhagavad, isn't it? And Krishna is quoting this Dattatreya Maharshi as an authority about Bhagavad Dharma. In the Bhagavatam you will see that. And the Dattatreya Maharshi says to his disciple, why don't you take dog's milk? Disciple says, I cannot take dog's milk. It's difficult to drink dog's milk, isn't it? I don't know whether anybody has tasted dog's milk. Dog's milk, and the moment you say about the dog itself, is not very pleasant. But if you have to drink the dog's milk, it gets more difficult. So what did the Dattatreya Maharshi do? The Dattatreya Maharshi, spiritual master, took a piece of bread, dipped it in the dog's milk and ate it. So the Dattatreya Maharshi took a piece from that and ate that. And then he gave another piece to the disciple. Eat it now, he said. disciple with a great difficulty, he was trying to eat it, but inside it's all coming out. From inside. Why? He hasn't reached that stage yet. To show it to him, Dattatreya was saying this to him, to show it to him, that self-realization is a different ballgame altogether. You can keep on doing so many shows in this world, but in reality, if you have freed yourself from the body and the mind, and if you have come to that platform, nothing in this world will be surprising to you. Will be surprising to you. So today we have this do's and don'ts, vidhi, nishedham. We will discuss that in the Bhagavatam when Krishna talks about that. So many interesting personalities are there in this world. Now it is that Dattatreya Maharshi who is an authority for us in spiritual life. Imagine that. So here also you can see that body will get sick, and these great jnanis, when they get sick, they will show to others that look, there is pain in the body. But what is the difference? It does not affect them. Dattatreya had no problem drinking the dog's milk. Why? It doesn't affect him. We will get affected. Why? Because inside we have that ego won't allow to take somebody. We have caught that in our head, registered there. Only cow's milk I'll accept it. No other milk. Isn't it? So now you see the problem where it comes from. When it gets closer to the truth, you find it more difficult. On a long distance, it is easy to perform spiritual life. But when it's closer to the truth, it gets much more difficult. We'll stop there a few minutes and continue.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So, in this verse, Madhmanabhava Madhbhakto, Madhmanabhava is the first one. Madhbhaktaha is the second one. Then, Madhyaji is the third one. Mahanamaskuru is the fourth one. Four different stages like that. All four are necessary, Krishna is saying. Then, Mahavavishasi Yuktayam. That Yuktam word is what we have discussed till now. Word Yuktam. Yuktayam means what it means, isn't it? So, Yuktayam means that Krishna mentions here that Sharanagati or surrender. Sharanagati Dharmam is that Yuktayam. Mahavavishasi Yuktayam. There is no other shelter except Krishna, Atma, soul. That's only shelter. To come to that conclusion, that is what that Yuktayam means. So, a person who has reached that stage, they will not speak anything else because they are in that state all the time. They are not in something that they go and come back. They are in that all the time. And therefore, that when material difficulties comes to their body, physical disabilities and physical problems comes to their body, they will show to others, look, my body is suffering like this, but at the same time, bhalo-unmata vishachavat, they will not be affected by the miseries of the material body. Miseries of the material body will not be affected by them. Now, this kind of jnani, or realized souls, they should be in this world all the time. Because the time when they live, for example, we are now talking about a time long, far, far away from the Shuga Brahma Shri's time or Janabharata's time or Dattatreya's time or Krishabhadev's time, isn't it? Their time is long, long ago this has happened. But we need to know them well even today as an ideal in front of us. That ideal is necessary because otherwise what will happen is somebody else will present something and you will get pulled by that. You will get affected by that. So, when you are trying to understand this knowledge, what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita and in the Upanishads and in the Bhagavatam, always it is necessary to have ideal men who fit in with that what is spoken there. Isn't it? Otherwise, how do you know that somebody tells us so many things and acts in a different way? And if you have to accept all that and get cheated by that, that's wrong. That shouldn't happen, isn't it? So there should be, we should not get cheated by seeing something, what somebody is doing in this world, But only those people who have these realizations which completely matches with what is spoken in the Shastram. And if you see that in them, and if they agree with that, and they live in that way, and who is going to able to transfer it to somebody with that realization, they will be that there anubhuti. That is, Krishna says, I am that. That anubhuti, what they are experiencing, is called vibhuti. Here, the next chapter. Personalities who have gone through this experience realize the truth. And when you observe them, that always in that state they are fully settled, situated. Fully situated in that state. And they, when you observe their life in this world, they are always in that Sharanagati state, surrendered platform. And that anubhavam, or experience for them, is our authority. It becomes our authority. And that anubhuti, what you find in those great personalities, is called vibhuti. And this chapter is called Vibhuti Yoga. The next chapter, what we are going to discuss now, is called Vibhuti Yoga, isn't it? So, Vibhuti means Krishna's manifestation. What you find in the Jnani is nothing but Krishna's manifestation, isn't it? What is Krishna's manifestation? Atma realized state. That is Krishna's manifestation. They have realized Krishna as Atma, as the soul. And that soul's potency is what you are seeing there. What is that? Manmana bhava, always in the platform of the soul. Manmana bhava man bhakta. Bhakta means what? That bhakti flowing from inside towards every other living entity in this world. Bhakti is coming from inside. Madhyaji, all their activities Krishna is performing through their body. Man namaskuru, always they are surrendered to the soul. You see that verse? How that verse is connected to the Vibhuti? Vibhuti Yogam is the next chapter. 10th chapter is Vibhuti Yogam. Opulences, isn't it? Whose opulence? Opulence of the soul. Opulence of Krishna. Opulence of the soul. So, Manmanabhava, Manbhartaha, Madhyaji, Mam Namaskuru. And then finally, Mam Avishasi Yuktayam. You will see in these persons, not for a minute, not for an hour, all the time, in them, manifestation of all these qualities. What was spoken in the first two lines. Mama Vishasi Yuktayam. Why? Alpanam Mat Parayana. They are always surrendered to the soul. Soul is everything for them. Complete surrender to the soul. Alpanam Mat Parayana. Krishna is saying like that. So, that Vibhuti means Krishna's manifestation. Vibhuti means Krishna's manifestation. Wherever Krishna is manifested in a person, this will be the situation with that person. Which one? Madhmana bhav madbhakto, madhyajimam namaskuru, mamaveshyasi yuktevam, alpanam madparayana. Such a person, when things happen in that way, he is called an incarnation. He is called an incarnation. Wherever, you see Krishna's vibhuti. Wherever, whoever has turned their attention inwards, and who shows that Amrita Vastu means the soul inside, and from whom a force is coming out, that is all Krishna's Vibhuti. And it is that Vibhuti what Krishna is going to talk about in this chapter. So, why Krishna says, Arjuna, you are very dear to me, therefore I am going to talk to you about that Vibhuti, and therefore I will instruct you about this Vibhuti. Krishna says, so, you saw that connection with that verse and this next chapter. That means, again, repeat the same thing. Manmana bhava. That means, mind is completely absorbed in Krishna, in the soul. Man bhaktaha. Bhakti is coming from inside, flowing abundantly, it's coming out from inside. Madhyaji. All karma is happening through that body, they are fully conscious of that. Krishna is doing everything. In other words, it's a totally surrendered state. They are not thinking that, what I am doing, I am the enjoyer. That thought is not there anymore in them. Madhyaji, Mam Namaskuru, false ego is completely gone away. Therefore, they are always in the surrendered state, always in the obeisance state. As though you are paying obeisances all the time. Not physically, but inside, Abhimanam, pride has gone away. Then, Mam Avishasi Yuktayam, everything that is happening through them, is yuktam. Yuktam means Sharanagari state is continuous. It's not for a short period. Continuously in that state they are existing. When all these things are happening, you can take it. There is Krishna's manifestation there. And that is called Vibhuti. It is that Vibhuti which Krishna is going to talk about in this next chapter. And first thing what Krishna says to Arjuna is, Arjuna, you are very dear to me. Therefore, I am going to talk to you about my Vibhuti. He says like this, isn't it? So let's look at the first verse. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Bhuyayeva Mahabaho, Shranumi Paramam Vacha, Yatteham Priyamanaya, Vakshyami Hitakamyaya, Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Bhuyayeva Mahabaho, Shrunume Paramam Vacha, Yatteham Priyamanaya, Vakshyami Hitakamyaya, Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Krishna said, Bhuya eva mahabaho, shrunu me paramam vacha, yateham priyamanaya vakshyami hidagamyaya. That is the Krishna's introduction to this verse. In this first verse itself you can see, priyamanaya hidagamyaya vakshyami, Krishna says. Priyamanaya hidagamyaya vakshyami. Two things Krishna says. Krishna says, Priyamanaya. Priyamanaya means, I like you. Krishna says to Arjuna, I like you. Then Hidagamyaya, I want that you should get the best. You should be Hidagamyaya. That auspicious things should happen to you. I wish that it should happen to you. Therefore, I am going to talk to you about this, he says. So that's how Krishna's address to Arjuna. It's a very important word, why those words are used there. I'll come to that later. But she says to him that Priyamanaya, if somebody likes, only then you will reveal things properly, isn't it? If you like somebody, you will tell the things properly to him. Spiritual life is like that. Only when Krishna liked Arjuna, he came out. And to Uddhava also, Krishna said exactly the same thing. The same way. Uddhava, he says to Uddhava, you are so dear to me that I am going to tell you the truth. He said. Otherwise, it's not easy to get it from the truth. It's not that Krishna, Arjuna says, Krishna, now you tell me everything what you want to say. No, it's not like that. See how Krishna got attracted to Arjuna's surrender first, isn't it? First he didn't say, all sorts of things he spoke, who? Arjuna. And then finally he said that, I surrender unto you, isn't it?
If you hurt.
Eh?
I'm going to hurt.
What's that verse? Shishya seham shadimam vaha prabandham. Isn't it? That prabandham. Prabandham where this priyam? That's all, nothing else. When he surrendered to somebody like that, Krishna couldn't hold it back. Because I'll tell you why. What happened was, after Mahabharata war, in a similar instance, one day, when they were going for a walk in the evening together, Arjuna and Krishna, Arjuna says to Krishna, that you remember you told me certain things in the battlefield, Bhagavad Gita is referring to. Can you repeat that again, he says to Krishna. Krishna says, no. He says, that Krishna who spoke at that time is not there now. And that Arjuna who asked the question is also not there now. So between the spiritual master and the disciple, such a relationship has to happen at some point. Only then the transmission will happen of the knowledge. Otherwise it won't happen. The spiritual master must be ready. The disciple also has to be ready for that. And the relationship has to be in that way. It's not an agreement or a transaction you can make easily. And the same thing has happened with Uddhava also. When Uddhava says to Krishna, that in the Bhagavatam you will see how Uddhava puts it to Krishna. You can, if you look at it, you will see how he says, isn't it? If you look in the 7th chapter of the 11th canto, Uddhava comes to Krishna. Everybody left. When Krishna, you know, the Yadavas fought each other, killed each other, all of them, all drunk. And when you see all that, Krishna's big family life finished in a few hours, which was over, made them all to fight each other. And they all killed each other. And Krishna was very unaffected by anything what was happening. Seeing all these things, Uddhava got a doubt. What's happening here? Krishna could have stopped this from happening, this killing like this. But he doesn't seem to be unable, he doesn't want to stop it. There must be some reason behind it, he thought. And he goes to Krishna and says to him, that, have you decided to leave this place? I cannot understand otherwise why these things are happening, he said. Krishna says to Uddhava, your doubt is correct. You have understood the situation properly. I am on my way, he said. Uddhava broke down there, on the spot. He couldn't imagine living without Krishna's presence. So what did he say? He says to him, if you look in the 43rd verse in the 6th chapter, Naham tava amrita malam kshanardhava vikeshava tikkum samal sahe natha sudhamanai mamabhi tava vikriridam Krishna dranam paramavangalam karnam piyushana swadhyam tujyatyanyaspriham jana shayyasanadanasthanam snana kridashana adhisho katham tvam priyama alpanam vayam bhaktvasthya jemahi toyova mukta srakhandava salangara charchidaha Uchishta Bojino Dasa Tavamayam Jayemahi Vada Rashanam Shriya Sharmana Urduvan Dinaha Brahma Kim Damade Andi Shanda Sanyasino Malaha Vayam Tihamaha Yogin Brahmanda Karma Varmaso Tadvarta Tarishyama Stavage Dusturam Tama Smaranda Kirtayandaste Kudani Gadida Anija Getulsmide Chana Chele in the Loga Vidambanam. All these verses, through them, Uddhava is saying to Krishna, it is impossible for me to live now without you. To such an extent, Uddhava was surrendered to Krishna. And when all these things, Uddhava spoke like that, somehow or the other, Krishna says, I don't know, he started feeling an affection for Uddhava. When Uddhava said this, nobody else, none of the other Yadavas did that. You have to remember that. They all thought, oh, Krishna is like us, somebody else has come here. They all took it in the wrong way. But only Uddhava understood who is Krishna and separation from Krishna means what it means. He realized it. That's why these words as Naham Tamangrivalam Chanantama Vigeshava Tektum Samulsayenada Sudhavan Aymamabi says to Uddhava, Uddhava says to Krishna, take me also with you. He says he was begging, sat at Krishna's feet and started saying, begging to Krishna, take me with you. Seeing all that, Krishna's got a little soft-hearted and started speaking to Uddhava, and that is what we call as Ekadasha Skandam, Uddhava Vadesham. Similarly, in Arjuna's case also, everything comes from that happiness has to come from inside. From Krishna, that priyam, like we said before, that priyam started flowing towards Arjuna. He started thinking Arjuna should get it now, and he started speaking. Similarly, he started thinking Uddhava should get it now, and he started speaking. And that is how it comes out like that. So this is how this chapter begins. This Vibhuti Yogam chapter begins with this flow of love from Krishna to Arjuna. So in the last verse we have seen Manmana Bhavam Adbhato Madhya Jivam Namaskuru. You saw how that verse is introduction for this chapter, this whole chapter. So, always you will notice this in the Bhagavad Gita, that when one chapter is finished and the next chapter begins, the last verse will give you some clue into the next chapter, what it is going to start. So, for all of us, generally, in spiritual life, sadhana is a big problem, isn't it? Sometimes we think, how long? How long we have to do this? It's a bottomless pit, isn't it? Where are we going to get it? Somebody says, after 40 years I've been chanting, what has happened? It is a problem. I mean, it's no doubt. It's better to openly say about that rather than saying that, oh, everything is going on very well with my spiritual life. I know it's not, because I know after so many years, there is nowhere you are nearer to the truth, isn't it? No realization inside. Still having all the material problems, material difficulties in life, everything. So, the sadhana itself is a big problem in spiritual life. So, when it is like that, keeping the mind in Krishna, absorbed in Krishna, is also very difficult. Mind has no problem to keep it in the world. To keep the mind in the world is not a big problem. But to keep the mind on the soul is a big problem. Is it not? We know that, isn't it? How difficult it is. Very easily, the mind will travel into the world. Mind can travel into the world. But mind finds very great difficulty in putting it on the soul. So, if you try to remember some form of Krishna, or in particular form you want to meditate on that form, mind won't listen, isn't it? Mind won't listen, mind will run away. And the same mind, if I put some interesting channel on the television, have you observed your mind, how focused it is? You don't want to have your dinner. Or if somebody comes and tells you that is a phone call, call you, tell I'll call you back. You will say, why is it like this? The mind has no problem as far as matter is related to this world. Well, especially something if it's very something which you very wanted to watch in the television channel. If it is there, even the sky comes down, you won't stop. You want to watch. At any cost, you want to watch that. There are people like that, isn't it? Many people who are very serious like that. So, why is it like that? That so much shraddha and attention in the television channel or whatever that is there. But when we talk about this spiritual life, Brahman, self-realization and all that, mind says, no, 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 what boring it is. They say that. Reason is that your attention will depend on the vasana inside. Our vasana will dictate how much shraddha you will have in spiritual life. If you have a lot of vasana, spiritual vasanas inside, your shraddha will also be very good. Shraddha will also be very good. You can see this, based on the vasana, it moves from one to another. But purely based on the vasanas inside. So on topic which are beyond the body, transcendental topics, mind finds it very difficult. Mind finds it very difficult. So, therefore, Krishna is saying here, bring the mind to me first. There is no other choice. Manmana bhava. Keep mind on me, on the soul. And in another place, Krishna says, hand over the mind to me. Here Krishna says, keep the mind in me. Another place he says, hand over the mind to me. You remember that verse? Manmana bhava madbhakto. Madhya jimam namaskuru mamaveshyasi yuktaivam atmanam madparayana. And there is another place also where Krishna says, yeah, 1865, that's at the end of the 18th chapter, you will see again manmana bhava madbhakto, Krishna saying. 1865. He says, Madmanabhava Madhatto Madhyajimam Namaskuru Mamayaveshese Satyande Pradijani Priyosime. That's only changed there, the last line. He says, Madmanabhava Madhatto Madhyajimam Namaskuru. That's the same thing, what is in this verse, isn't it? But then he says, Mamayaveshese Satyande Pradijani Priyosime. Prajani Priyasimi. Think of me, become my devotee, worship me and offer your homage unto me. Thus you will come to me without fail. I promise you this because you are my very dear friend. There Krishna has put that catch that I have to be his friend. Very dear friend, not ordinary friend. Very dear friend you have to be. Pradijane priyosimi. He has mentioned there. So, here Krishna says, Alpanam matparayana. There Krishna is saying, Pradijane priyosimi. Pradijane priyosimi. So, man manaha. That is the most important thing. He says, Krishna says, make that mind as mine. You make your mind as mine. Don't keep it as yours. At the moment it is ours, isn't it? We use this mind to enjoy life, isn't it? Through the mind you enjoy everything. Whether it's a television program or if you are having a feast, you're enjoying through the mind. Isn't it? Senses and the mind together operate and give you the pleasure for the feast. Or any happiness in this world, it's the mind you are using for that. Krishna is saying there that hand over that mind to me. Or keep me absorbed in me or hand over it to me. Either way it is. The same thing. Don't keep it as yours. And hand over to me. That is why I said. So therefore in Shivananda Hari, Ajari Swami says like this. That what can I actually give it to you? You have got everything. What is there for me to give it to you? If I give you something, that should be something what you don't have it. Isn't it? Suppose sometimes people go and hand over a lot of money, a lot of fruits, flowers, garlands, everything to Krishna. But whose is that at the end? It's Krishna's only. What you are giving it to him. You are taking it his own and giving it to him. Strictly if you look at it, that's the right thing, isn't it? Everything, we didn't create anything. It is Krishna's created. We are taking that and offering to Krishna. But this thing called mind, Ajari Swami says in the Shivananda Lahiri, he says that, I got something what you don't have, he says. To Lord Shiva, he says, you don't have it, but I'll give it to you. You can have that, he said. And that is his mind. He says to him, like that, so if I give you something what you don't have, that's what I would like to give it to you. Suppose they give you money, or fruits, or coconuts, or whatever it means. All these things, you have got it enough. I don't have to give it to you. But, bhavadu me madartham mama manaha. He says, bhavadu bhavadartham mama manaha. He says, I'll give you my mind. That you can keep it. I don't want it. Because that is surrendering. That is surrendering. Handing over the mind to Krishna. That is surrendering. Manmanaha bhava madbhaktam. So, how to make this mind handing over to Krishna? That is the question, isn't it? Once you have love for Krishna, then mind naturally will remember Krishna. Once you have developed some attachment for soul, attachment for spiritual life, attachment for Krishna, then naturally mind will go after that. So, first thing is, bhakti creates that. This is what bhakti does. Bhakti will turn the mind in the direction, Krishna's direction. So when that is why we say to Krishna, give me bhakti. We say, isn't it? We say to Krishna, give me bhakti. For what? So when bhakti comes, we know we will surrender properly. Properly we will hand over our mind to Krishna. Isn't it? If you look into Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Shikshashtakam, you will see there. Ashvishyava Padradam Pinashtama Vadarshanam Marmahadam Garotuva Yadhadhadava Vidadalambado Matranathasu Evanapara. The last words. Ainanda Tanuja Kingaram Patitamam Mishame Bhavambado Kubaya Taupadam Pamadam Sidaduli Sudasham Vijindaya. He says. So all these statements from Mahaprabhu statements are based on this understanding that bhakti is coming from inside. Accordingly, more and more surrender is happening. More and more surrender is happening. All this chanting name, holy name, for what? To get bhakti. And where does bhakti has to come? Bhakti has to come from Krishna only. And the yami inside, he has to release that emotion from inside bhakti. When he releases that bhakti, naturally what will happen? Bhakti will drive this mind towards Krishna. Bhakti will mind towards Krishna. And automatically you will have some taste for spiritual life. We will have taste for self-realization. We will have taste for realizing the truth and realizing Krishna. This will happen. That is why it mentions here, Madhmana bhava madhbhakta, madhyaji, madhbhakta. So, once this love, bhakti has developed inside, natural way, mind will remember Krishna. You don't have to do it in an artificially. At the moment, we have to do it artificially, isn't it? But when you try to do it, it resists. It says, if there is a better television program, I'll watch that now. Later on, when all channels are closed down, then I'll take my beads back and chant my 16 rounds at that time. This is our mood at the moment. We are unable to find any pleasure in this. Why? It is because of this. But vasanas inside are like this, that it enjoys the television program, unfortunately. It is not enjoying Krishna. This is the difficulty. So that enjoying nature of the mind, in order that to happen, it has to enjoy in a particular way. That means that happiness has to come from inside. Bhakti has to develop from inside. So Krishna says, Madhyaji. Madhyaji. Madhyaji means how to make that surrender to Krishna. Yajana means to make surrender. Mam Namaskuru, how to surrender and pay your obeisances to Krishna. How to control that ego inside. So as I mentioned before, falling down with the body and paying obeisances is not the Namaskaram. Namaskuru means not that. Actually what it means is that this falling down is only a symbol of that. It's only a symbol of that. Sashtanga Namaskaram they call it, isn't it? All the eight parts of the body touching the ground. That is in the Shastram it talks about like that. But when you completely give up your false ego inside and able to stay in that state, that is the greatest Namaskaram. That's the proper Namaskaram. Without any false ego inside of my separated existence, of my separate enjoyment, or without any Kartatva, Bhoktatva, and Rajadvesham, if one is able to live in this world all the time, completely surrendered to Krishna, that is proper surrender. And that is what Namaskaram means. So, and the same thing in the Bhakti process is called as Atmanivedanam. Another word that is used is Atmanivedanam. Where did that Atmanivedanam comes? And when you surrender ourselves to Krishna, but when we realize that Krishna is the doer, Krishna is the enjoyer, Karta and Bhokta, I am nobody. Krishna is doing everything. This has to come in experience. It has to come in experience. And the name of that experience is called Namaskaram. What Krishna says here. Madhya Jima Namaskuru. In other words, the whole life has to become a Namaskaram. Whole life has to become a Namaskaram. So everything is Krishna. And whatever that is happening through this body, if it is happening for the benefit of the world or for others, only for others, if it is benefited in that way, then it is Namaskaram. If it is Namaskaram. In other words, nothing should be for your own individual happiness, for the false ego's happiness. It should be for the benefit of the rest of the world. That is why Krishna is saying here, Mam Avishyasi Matparayana. So, there is only one purpose. Krishna says, existence, there is only one purpose, that is remembrance of this. That means the surrendered state. if instead of that, if there is some other purpose apart from this, that means not being surrendered to Krishna, not surrendering to Krishna, if there is some other purpose comes in life, what will happen? What will happen? That will finish when the body drops. When the body drops, we call that as death, isn't it? We call it as death. But even if the body drops, if you are in that surrendered state, you will still be in the spiritual state. You will still be in the spiritual state. All these things Krishna has spoken in that verse. How? You look at that. This is not actually a long process. Long process. As soon as you wake up into your own identity, self, to the spiritual identity, naturally all these qualities will come there. What Krishna is talking about, manmana, bhava, manbhaktaha, madhyaji, mam, namaste, they are all together. They are not separate. Why he spoke these things was that what changes will happen in you when self-realization happens. These qualities, what Krishna has spoken in that verse, automatically will manifest in that person, in the self-realized state. In the self-realized state. So, how to wake up into our self-realized state, that is the question, isn't it?
That is a question. Suppose these four, five things mentioned here. What are they? Manmana Bhava, Mad Bhaktaha, Mad Yaji, Mam Namaskuru. Suppose you say, I will do one first, and then I will do the next, then I will do the third one, then I will do the fourth one. That won't work. That's not possible. So, why it is like that? As soon as you wake up into your identity, spiritual identity, that means, suppose you had performed a lot of contemplation, a lot of reflection, and analyzed everything what is discussed in the Shastram, and you yourself has got through that on your own way, and you have realized the truth. That is the Jnanamargam, isn't it? Jnanamargam is like that. You have realized it, and once that self-realization has happened, you will notice all these qualities in that person. All these qualities in the person. You should not take this as a sadhana verse. That's what I'm saying. This is not a sadhana verse. Which one? Manmana bhava, manbhakto, madhyaji. Our normal tendency is we want instructions all the time. You see, that's what we are used to. Somebody gives you instructions, you're happy. Oh, he has told me everything what I have to do now. And I'll put some bullet points and I'll give some priority on one or the other. And I'll start following that. That is not how spiritual life works. Spiritual life is, Krishna is saying here, this knowledge of the self, if you wake up to that, you will see these qualities in that person in natural way. It has come to him. Because he has woke up to the reality, to the self. Isn't it? That is the point he is trying to make here. It is not a sadhana verse. You should not think that, from tomorrow onwards, I'm going to manmana bhavam. I'm going to give my mind to Krishna and I'm going to become a devotee. Madhbhaktaha, madhyaji, I'll do everything for Krishna. Mahamaskara, I'll pay a lot of my senses to Krishna. It will not work like that. That's not the way, that's not what's expected. What Krishna is saying here is that these things should come from inside. From true self-realization it should happen. Then it will have its effect. It will not go away. Therefore, that's what he's saying here. So, as soon as you wake up to your identity, Swarupam, in other words, what will happen is, what is my relationship with Krishna? That is known to you then, isn't it? Today I don't know what my relationship with Krishna is. All I know is I'm this body. I don't know anything about Krishna. Shastram says so many things, great people are saying so many things, but what do I know about it? Only when it comes to an experience, this Advaita Jnanam, that's why it is called Advaita Jnanam. Advaita Jnanam is mentioned in the Bhagavatam, isn't it? Vatambhidam Tattuvidam Tattumyat Jnanam Advayam. Advaita Jnanam means this, that in experience, it will wake you up inside in such a way that you will start seeing that this relationship with Krishna is very, very strong. With Krishna is very... So Advaya Sambandham, it is called Advaita Jnanam or Advaya Sambandham. Advaya means that Advaya means no two there. There is no more two things existing anymore. So, the question was, what is the difference between Ishvara and Jiva? This is an important question, isn't it? Ishvara and Jiva, what is the difference? I'll keep that question for tomorrow. All glory to Srila Prabhupada. Yeah. Yeah.